this one.
That's your plasma tower, but...
Well, the Pine City Council executive session of Wednesday, August 11th, 2010, is called to 2.66. Okay. At this time, we will go into executive session under ORS 192.660, sub 2, sub F. An executive session will be held pursuant to ORS 192.660, sub 2, sub F, to consider information or records that are exempt by law from public inspection. The executive session is closed to the public. In accordance with applicable Oregon law, representatives of the news media are permitted to attend the executive session. However, the media is prohibited from disclosing any information discussed in the executive session. All discussions in the executive session are confidential, and those present may not disclose any information discussed in the executive session. The executive session will not be held for the purpose of taking any final action or making any final decision. At this point, we'll go ahead and move into the city office to conduct the executive session so that attendees can go ahead and come on into the conference room as they arrive. All right. We have just concluded our executive session that was called under ORS 192.660 sub 2 sub F. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn that meeting.
I so move.
I second.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Grande, yes.
Thank you. Executive session is adjourned at 6:10 p.m. And the only item on that agenda is to continue with our council interviews with charter committee applicants. I'm sorry to keep people waiting. And the executive session went a little longer than we anticipated. Do we have all four of our applicants here? Is Bob Steppens here?
Right.
And Vicki Jackson, I know. Linda Reed, if she's not here, she'll be coming in a searcher. And Sandra Jones. Okay, they're not scheduled to be here yet. Bob, if you would like to, we're a little informal here. You can come up to the podium if you'd like, or just go ahead and stay right there. If you're more comfortable, that's fine. Would you like to give us a little statement on, expound a little bit on your written statement here on why you would like to be a member of the Charter Committee?
Well, I'm a native Oregonian. I grew up in a rural area outside of Gresham, and Gresham was pretty rural. I started coming to the Pine in the 50s with my folks hunting and fishing. When I retired from the military, we bought property here. That was in the early 80s. And I was working in the aerospace industry at the time. In the early 90s, I got a job in Bend with ORCOM. We were providing billing systems, customer information systems to the utility industry. And that's when we moved here and have been here ever since. I have an interest, my main interest, I think, is in the future of the Pine. And I'm hoping our vision is that at some point we'll have a community where our children can stay here and have careers here. I've been to a lot of places around the world where communities lose their youth. They just go elsewhere because there's nothing. And that's probably the main reason why I want to be on it. My experience with city councils, I had a number of municipalities as customers working for ORCOM, and had to make presentations to city councils.
Okay. Well, we'll just go right down the line here. I know that Councilor Ward has a standard question that he asks everyone.
I have only one question, same question of all candidates. It's very plain and very simple. What is your personal opinion of having a city, voting city council member being elected from outside the city limits of Lamont?
Well, I have some reservations about that. I guess in my experience in the business world, typically you would have a board of directors where you would invite some talented people to mentor you. And maybe as an advisory committee or something would be probably my first inclination of the way to go. But on the other hand, I recognize that we're a community of over 20,000 people, many of whom are outside the city. We definitely have to have that representation. Thank you very much.
Councilor McAfee?
One thing you mentioned was that you would like this document kind of to reflect have that vision where somewhere where a child could grow up, get a job, stay. So what specifically in the charter do you think that those principles could come in? Would be like for building or...
Well, I think the next step or the next level that the city needs to engage in is developing and operating the infrastructure of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, there's some pretty small communities, for example, in Idaho, who have gone out and marketed, and big business has come in. And that would be another piece of it, would be how do we market ourselves to bring business once we have infrastructure here for us. The next big step, I think, is infrastructure. And the key to that, in my opinion, is developing a network with the county, the state, and federal agencies. Our biggest hurdle probably is going to be money. And there's a lot of money out there, and we got to have those contacts and develop those contacts and work with those contacts about how we can get some of that identified through here.
Have you gone to a lot of city council meetings or?
Not in Lapine, no.
Elsewhere.
Right now I'm working with a fraternal organization that I do a lot of traveling. That comes to an end next month. My term's up next month.
Do you have any thoughts on the kind of council that we would have, like if it were the mayor has a vote or doesn't have a vote, or the council is in control?
Well, I would probably go to Robert's rules on that. And the mayor does have a vote. I would think the mayor would have a vote, but probably would vote only in those cases where the vote is needed.
Okay. Is that there?
Anything else? Councilor Greiner?
No questions. I have my questions answered.
Okay, yes, I think I got my questions answered too. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Nothing, unless...
I have my favorite question.
Oh, okay.
What is your general opinion about the city of Lapine?
it. My general opinion is that we are in our infancy, and we have some real challenges as we grow population-wise as well as geography. We're going to need some dedicated people focused on what our whatever the plan is over the 5, 10, 20 years.
Thank you. I think Linda Reed doesn't know where to go. She's walking back and forth.
Oh. anything else to help?
No, thank you.
Not for me, thank you.
All right, sure, thank you very much. Oh, no, you're welcome to stay through the whole meeting.
We're gonna, later on the agenda, we'll actually be selecting them. So.
Okay. Yeah. And thank you very much. Vicki Jackson.
Hello. I think you all know me. My family moved here to Central Oregon in 2004 from the Bay Area. I'm married with two teenage daughters. In 2007, started with Dan in Gilchrist Real Estate, and then I started to get involved in the community. I consider La Pine our community, even though I don't live in the city limits. I think I've attended as many council meetings as most of all of you, so I'm probably more informed of council issues than some of the candidates. I worked in the corporate world in my prior life. I have experience in sales, research, customer service, handling difficult situations and people. I think with CAG I've testified before the county commissioners in opposition to the local rule. I have volunteered for the Aspire program as well as Counselor Hedges. The Aspire program of Pine High School is a mentoring program for students to help them achieve their goals for college scholarships. And I'm a firm believer in education since knowledge is power. Why do I want to be on this committee? Well, I'd like to be part of the formation of the foundation of the city's most crucial document to contribute my talents, and I want to learn from other members, and as well as City Manager Rick Allen will be leading us, and I think it's a wonderful learning opportunity. In conclusion, I think with all of my involvement experience and my availability with my schedule that I would make a good committee member. You have many good candidates to choose from, and whoever's chosen, I'm sure will do a good job.
Okay. Ms. Vicki, you heard my question.
Yes.
Do I need to repeat it?
No.
Thank you.
I think we should have a non-resident with a vote because most of the community that's active now here are non-residents. I think this would bring us closer together as a community because it's kind of like with the city limits. It's like a wall between the city, residents, and the outside. And since it's only one vote we're talking out of five, the counselor that's the non-resident would have to work really hard to try to even convince the others on issues that might be more particular interest to the non-resident. So I don't think just giving them one would change the balance.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Councilor McAfee?
So what is your general opinion about the city of La Pine?
You wanna? No. La Pine has had its failures and successes. I think now with Rick Allen here, things are just starting to get started, and we will see more successes. I think the community needs to see the progress, and as they see it, they'll be on board. We have a wonderful community here. We've got a great chamber. We've got great groups, and I have a lot of hope.
I have no questions.
Councilor Greiner?
I think I heard plenty down through the months. Thank you.
I was just going to say, I don't know what I could ask from you that I don't know what I know about. And you know that if selected, you'll be here at every meeting. So.
Please, that wasn't derogatory.
No, it's true. Do you have anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like to add anything else, Nikki?
No, I'm happy.
Okay, thank you. Linda Reed, where did she go?
Right here.
Oh, there you go.
Hi.
And if you might want to move just a little closer, or
okay, I can do that.
Okay. First of all, thank you for being here. Always glad to see the interest. Would you like to start out with, we've all, of course, read your application, but would you like to start out with giving us a, expounding a little bit more on why you would like to serve on this committee?
Well, I've been in Lapine area since 1964, off and on, and I love Lapine, and I would like to be of a help. Okay. And I'd like to see, you know, the city moving forward. I'm thinking I could help you do that. I am a Klamath County resident. I'm in northern Klamath mm-hmm. County. And that's where we've been.
Okay. Councilor Ward?
I don't think you were in the room when I asked my standard question. I asked only one question, same question of all okay. candidates. What is your personal opinion of having a counselor sitting on the council who is not a resident of the city?
Okay, I feel that if you're paying taxes to the city of Lapine, even though you're not living here, you should have a say. And I think if you're a business in town, not necessarily, you know, being on the council, but at least having an opportunity to, you know, express their concerns or, you know, wants from the city. But I believe you should be in town, and you should be at least a property owner or something in town to be on the council.
Thank you very much.
So, do you have any experience that you think would help you succeed at this task?
Well, I do volunteer a lot in town. I don't have any, like, I've never been on a committee for a city or anything.
So where do you volunteer at?
Oh, I volunteer the rodeo, you know, Frontier Days. Wherever somebody needs me, I'm always happy to volunteer. I mean, this would all be new for me.
Anything else?
Oh, so what's your general opinion about the city of Lapine?
Oh, I think it's a great town. Like I say, I've lived here for off and on for 50 years. I think it's wonderful. I've always liked it. Always planned on retiring here. And here I am. So I just think it's great. It's a wonderful town. Great place to grow up and a great place to raise your kids, bring your grandkids.
Thank you.
So we see you everywhere, so.
Yeah.
You know, the Grange, all of those things. You don't really need experience. I think I mentioned it Monday night that people will be led on this committee probably by Rick Allen and a template to follow. But is there anything in the city that you would like to definitely have in a charter for such as buildings or making the city more friendly to people who walk and right and visitors?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see more business in town. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see maybe more, I mean, we don't have a lot of meeting places in town. I think we need a few sidewalks in town. You know, okay. Stuff like that.
Okay. Nothing more.
Okay, Councilor Garner?
You made a statement a while ago about when we asked you about a counselor non-resident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you made a statement that, and I'd like to have you clarify it, that you thought if we did put a counselor at from a non-resident that that counselor should own property in town. Is that your stance or not?
I believe they should. I mean, I don't think somebody from that doesn't do anything in this town should be a counselor. I think it should be a business or a property owner, because how else would they know about our town?
Thank you.
Have you reviewed any other city charters? Do you have an understanding of what goes in them? Do you have the time?
I do have the time to do it, yeah. Or I wouldn't have volunteered. Yeah. So. I know it's a time-consuming task. Yeah. So.
And there are some general things that just always go into a charter.
Okay.
And they can be pretty simple or they can be pretty involved.
Okay.
So that's part of what this is going to be, mm-hmm. is determining the scope of our charter,
right.
too.
Okay.
Anything else, Council?
Not for me, thank you.
Not for me, thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm just glad to be here.
Well, so are we.
So.
Glad to have you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you again. Sandra? Jump, I don't see Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
She has one more minute. She's scheduled to be here at 6:30. Rick, would you like to get an idea on how we would do our voting?
Well, that's actually going to be on our agenda when we get out of the work session. But while we're waiting, we can just explain it. You only have 5 applicants for the city position, and we have 5 positions. So theoretically, unless you were to do something different, it's pretty much they're all going to be on the committee. So, but you still need to appoint them. You can do what you want. If you wanted to go out and interview again or do something, you obviously could. But right now you have 5 and 5, so that's taken care of, I would assume. What you do is have choices on the non-resident, because we need 4, and depending on, she doesn't have to come. I mean, you can still vote for Sandy. I mean, they don't have to be interviewed, I guess. So you've got X amount of names on here. There's one drop out there, I believe. The cross-off means they don't want to be considered anymore. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a ballot there, and so my thought is, on the non-residents, you would vote for 5 of them, and we move on in other topics by our official vote counter. Luana spends time tallying the votes, and then we can talk on some other stuff. Then we come back, and my thought is, if we find anyone unanimous, take them off, because they're in, and then if we have some ties in there, we may have to do a couple votes, because we could end up with, when you only have 5 people voting for 4 positions, you could end up with some ties and things. So we'll have to see how it tallies out. So we may have a couple, 3 votes to get to those. And then at some point when we're done with that, then you need to make a motion. Somebody needs to make a motion to appoint those 9 people. And that's our committee. So.
Okay.
And I know there appears to be all good candidates and good folks. Too bad we couldn't have more of them.
Look it up, the size of our committee.
Throw anyone on.
Rick, do we have to have 5 in the city?
Well, I think the reason that you want to is that you're doing 4. I think that it'd be problematic to have more non-residents than residents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess we can discuss this when we get to the agenda.
But it appears she's not here.
She is.
There she is.
Oh,
she's
walking
in.
There she is.
She's
out.
You're up.
Come on in. Boy, nothing like not having a chance to catch your breath.
Get her nervous all right.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all waiting for you.
Sandy. Why don't you come sit in this seat, because I got to leave in a few minutes.
Am I supposed to talk?
Nobody knows
what
it is
now. We do our best to make you comfortable.
You're right, girl.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sandy, for being here. And just go ahead and get started. You need to catch your breath. We're already ready.
I'm ready.
All right.
I just didn't realize we had a city council meeting today. I was pinned up in Bend and rushed down here for this appointment.
Okay. I'm glad you made it. All right. Everyone obviously has your application, and I trust we've all had an opportunity to read it. Mm-hmm. to get started here, is there anything else that you would like to add to? Would you like to expound a little bit on why you would like to serve on this committee?
Yeah, well, the reason I'd like to serve is because when I heard there was an opening, I felt that I wanted to help out and be a part of the city, be a part of this community more. I've been to the meetings and am involved through the newspaper with the community, and I care about what happens to the city, what happens here, and I felt I could be an important piece by being on a committee, and that seemed like a good one.
Thank you. We've been just kind of going down the line here and having counselors ask their questions. We'll start with Counselor Ward.
I only ask one question, the same question. I've said this 15 times now. The same question of all candidates. What is your personal opinion of having a city councilor elected from outside the city limits that does not live within the city?
I think it's a good idea because there's the city, there's people that have businesses in the city and that are involved in the city that don't have to live within the city limits, like myself, and that it's important to them.
Thank you.
So, what is your general opinion about the city government and the fine?
About the city government? My general opinion about the city government? Well, I think it's...
Loaded.
Well, I think, I always thought it was real exciting when the first meeting, I went to the very first city council meeting, was seemed very exciting to have this new thing in our city. And so I'm not real judgmental about what seems to be errors that have come up, and I'm not a real critical person because I'd rather make better judgments, you know, and be more constructive. So I think that everybody's doing the best they can right now and working on getting this city together. That's what I see. Yeah. Okay. That we're all just human, and I make mistakes in the newspaper.
No.
You know, I just made one. I think that we're headed in the right direction. Through the development, it's an involvement.
I don't really have any questions. Evidently, you have a lot of experience researching and
With
researching and planning and figuring out the details of a charter.
No, I've never
you don't.
Oh, well, I was going to ask that. But that's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because anyone... I'm just
going into this with an open mind. Mm-hmm. I've never had any experience doing anything like that either, but that's what's part of it, then... I'm sure that can be done. I'm a student. I've learned things fast.
I don't think it's very often that anyone has a lot of experience in setting up a city charter. Councilor Greiner?
I'd like to thank you for not being too judgmental. Thank you very much. Actually, I've gone over pretty well. This is about the third or fourth time, and I think almost everything I need to know is on the paper. Thank you.
All right. I have no further questions. Counselors, anything else?
No, but thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Mm-hmm. And all right. That concludes the committee interviews. So you're welcome to stay later on in our regular session. We'll be making our selection of committee members. Uh-huh. So if you'd like to stay, that'd be great. Okay. I don't see any real reason to...
Go ahead and adjourn the work session. And then we'll open up the regular
meeting. Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you need to adjourn? We have another meeting coming up. Okay. I'll call for a motion to adjourn the work session.
I so moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hatch, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
All right, work session is adjourned at 6:38 p.m. The Pine City Council meeting of Wednesday, regular session of Wednesday, August 11th, 2010, is called to order at 6:38 p.m. We'll have roll call and establish a quorum, please.
Rick Allen.
Councilor Brenner.
Mayor Shields.
Councilor Hedges.
Councilor McAfee.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
City Recorder LaVonna Damerville.
Administrative Assistant Pam Gordon.
Thank you. Okay, we have a quorum. All staff that's required to be here is here. Vicki, would you like to lead us in
the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, do you have any added agenda items? I have none, and again, I'd like to
invite... I would like to add the Mayor of the Public Works resolution to former Public Works Committee.
Well, what is our added agenda items number?
12.
Number 12, okay. So, 12A will be... What was that again?
Our Public Works. Repealing our Transportation Committee and making it into a Public Works.
Oh, okay. And was that all that you had, Rick? That was for added...
What?
Sorry.
Well, maybe it's already on there. Oh, it is on there. Never mind.
Oh, it is on there?
I just didn't get it done until today, so then I was like, oh, forget that.
Number 11.
Forget that. We're not...
Oh, right about it. Okay.
Yeah,
great. Okay. And I have nothing.
Sorry.
And again, these added items are just for things that come up since the agenda was done and cannot wait until another meeting. So, okay. We will move on to the consent agenda.
Item F, Web Design Services Contract, IT contract. We're not ready for that yet.
Okay.
It's not done.
Well, did you get that, Barbara?
No.
Consent agenda, item F, we're pulling that. Because it's not ready yet. Okay, did anyone have any questions or concerns about anything on the consent agenda? Cool. Okay, so let's do it this way. Minutes first. Is everyone okay with the minutes or have any comments or corrections or anything? I do have one, very brief, so we don't have to pull it and redo it. The Wednesday, July 14th minutes. Page 7, item 11, public comments for items not on the agenda. Down at the very bottom, where it says Mayor Shields said that the city manager's recommendation is just that, a recommendation. She said the city manager does have a lot more experience than the council members, but that Mrs. Ward could always turn in her application, blah, blah. I did also say, when I said that the city manager's recommendation is just that, a recommendation, I did also say that I think it's prudent to give a lot of weight to the manager's recommendation, and then where it goes on to say, as the city manager does have a lot more experience than the city council members. I think leaving that out makes it sound like I'm sort of, yeah, kind of discounting the package of recommendations, which was not my intent.
You didn't hurt my feelings.
I just wanted to be sure for the record that I said it carried a lot of weight, and I think we should give it some consideration. So I'd like to have that in there, please. So, if there's nothing else, then
we need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Yeah, hold on. Did you have anything, Barbara?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the one requested addition to the minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Ketchum, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brander, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Point of order, Mayor. The consent agenda has items through F. You're approving all of those.
Thank you. Well, no, we already stated that we pulled F. Is that what you were?
No, I'm saying there's a lot of things on there. You have now approved all.
Oh, yes. You were wanting to, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Entire consent agenda.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll move on to item number 6, public comments for items not on the agenda. If you have a comment, I would like for you to please come up to the podium. Anyone?
We have a couple here that wanted to talk about a dog issue.
Okay.
Do I need to stand or?
Go ahead, please, and come up here on the podium. Then we'd like to have your.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll let my son report about it then. And I have some more testimony. I have copies too.
Okay,
some pictures.
And if you'd give us your name and address, please.
I'm Zach Knave. My address.
Your address, yeah.
2276 Lechner Lane, Pine, Oregon. Alright, so I am part of a dog 4-H group, Fertile Pine, and we were at a dog 4-H practice in the park next to the public library, and my dog was sitting next to me, just minding her own business, when two pit bulls ran past my mom, past another dog, and came up to mine, and my dog's first response was, it kind of backed away. And she showed no aggression towards the pit bulls. And so the pit bulls kept, you know, going at her a little bit, and finally my dog's hair on her back kind of stood up. And these two pit bulls attacked my dog. And there was a tan one, and then there was a black and white one. The tan one was the main attacker, and it went for my dog's neck and got a hold of it and would not let go. It took her down, and we thought she was going to die. Then later on in the fight, the black and white one joined in and took her by the back of the leg. And so we had two pit bulls viciously attacking my little black lab for shows. How many days before show, Mom?
5 days.
5 days before show. And luckily, a man by the name of Mark Fisher came in, and he pulled off the tan pit bull and held it down for a while. And then also our co-leader came, and she got pepper spray and pepper sprayed the black and white one. So then after that we called the cops, and they came, and he took the dog and then gave it back to its owner. This whole attack, it my dog showed obviously no aggression, so this was an unprovoked attack on my dog. And because of this, I think that we should have all dogs on leashes within the city limits. And I have some pictures of my dog's wounds. If you guys would just pass it on.
Okay. Sure, just pass it on down. Yeah. Rick, did you have?
I did have some additional comments.
Sure.
And then I wanted to give you a picture of our group practicing in the park, and there were other children there. And I just wanted to say that I just feel the problem is I know there's more to this problem than just the leash law, but I just feel that that's a start, and that when this whole thing happened and I called 911, and I was pretty hysterical, I have to admit, because the dog was being killed in front of us, and I was telling my son to not get involved because I was afraid he was going to be hurt. And then we were also worried about the other children there, the other dog. One of our members wasn't there that night, which was fortunate because she has an unneutered male, and I don't know what would have happened with that dog. Because our dog is a spayed female. And we quickly had the other children involved and the other dog pulled into our pickup cab. And then as soon as the man's pulled off, he was a hero, we didn't even know him, he just heard our screams, pulled off the pit bull that we had her by the neck. We were able to get our dog, Izzy is her name, into our crate in the back of the pickup. The thing that was additionally upsetting to me was that the policeman that arrived immediately said he had other crimes to be reporting to, and that Lapine has no dog laws. And so that was really hard. And then we were like thinking, okay, does that mean the man that's holding the pit bull down that just hit that just attacked our dog without provocation is going to release that dog? My mind was just thinking a million things, and what's going to happen if that dog goes out roaming again? And the police officer said, even though Lapine has no laws, he'll take the dog back, but he was like kind of shrugging his shoulders. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I'll take the dog with me. And he did put it into his vehicle. The other dog was gone, had ran off. Later that same evening, my co-leader, her husband, was a police cadet at one point in his life, and he did contact the police officer that was involved and said, I think that there could be more, that there's more that could be done. And he did bring up a possible state law that could be used. And so then we understood that they did locate the owner, and he was served with that particular state law. But and so as a violation, and he feels the dog. He's also the owner of the second dog as well, and he does live in the city limits, quite near our schools. And so that's why we're bringing it to your attention. Problem is no leash law. Solution: a leash law in Lapine.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. That speaks very clearly to the problem that we have of being in limbo as a new city. Rick, do you have some comments or anything to add on that?
It's obviously, I think, something we need. Most cities have a leash law. And mm-hmm. So as we're adopting ordinances, zoning rules and things, I think that's something that I would assume the community would want. I mean, it is standard, pretty standard. It's with all of it. It goes back to the enforcement. Just having it on the books wouldn't have made any difference. That dog would have done it. We don't have anyone to dispatch to pick up the dog, and we don't run a dog pound. And so the county ultimately is going to be involved in any type of dog issue. There is one thing you could do quickly. I was just happened to be at I was at the parks yesterday and the library, and I talked to the librarian, and she said that, I guess you can't be in the park. You can't sit in the park like from 4 o'clock to 5:30 or something. So they obviously make some interesting rules in that park. That park, you could certainly say dogs on leash only. That only would affect that at least. Or you could do it dogs only unless they're in an organized group doing that. So that's something that they could pass that would affect the park.
The park district.
The parks district. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know, the BLM owns the land, the library's, I'm not sure who owns what there, but ultimately we need a leash law, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the council, mm-hmm. but it's really the enforcement side of it, yeah. that we have to get to, and that's true with all of our issues. It's who enforces it. When she calls 911, who responds? And then where does it go when they get there? And what? That's the ultimate issue. Mm-hmm. passing the ordinance, I mean, you could pass one next week. I mean, not really, but I mean, you know, we could do one fairly quickly, but that's just sending faults. So we've got to come, we have to look, and that's true of all of our issues here. You know, we talk about, they come up, nuisance abatement, junk in the backyard, outhouses in the backyard, you name it. It's the enforcement. That's the piece, and that's several months down the road or probably a year away before you have any of that. A, you don't have the revenue stream to do it yet, and we don't have the systems in place, and that's obviously what we're working on as we move forward. Short term, I think what I can do, I'm actually meeting with the county commissioners next week. I think this response that it's just suddenly Lapine's problem is overused. Mm-hmm. Because that seems to be the response a lot from the county. And the county has to realize that this transition takes a long time. And that if the city wasn't here, they couldn't say that. And just because you incorporated, that doesn't become the pat answer to every question, which seems to be what we get a lot. The county, the city is still in the county. You still pay county taxes, and part of that goes to the Sheriff's Department. Yeah, right. And while you did not approve what you call the, I don't know the term of this, the extra tax that the people outside pay. And I had to go through all this just last week when I met with all the county department heads. And I had all six of them in a circle, and this discussion was held. And the response from them a lot is, we have no jurisdiction, we can't do anything. The county still has some jurisdiction, and they can still help, and they can do things. And so, as it turned out, they did. At the end of the day, they ended up citing the guy, they found out whose it was, so they did it. And I think we just need to send a message to the sheriff and those that, you know, we're working where we can be, but we can't just be abandoned.
Yeah, especially when it involves public safety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Public safety is one thing. Noise abatement and that sort of thing is another issue. But
yeah, the pit bulls running around that are attacking other animals. I think there's state statutes on the books that solve that. Yeah. And you don't need to have a city police officer to go do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, state police can do it. So I'll mention that when I meet with the county next week. And I have not yet met with the sheriff, and that's something maybe we could do.
And the city, of course, obviously sees the need to have these kinds of ordinances, and we've questioned before whether we want to do piecemeal ordinances as things come up. There was a dog noise issue the other night that I was aware of, a very bad issue, and an ongoing one, but it kind of escalated that night. And so these things go on, and yes, it's a very real thing, and it's a service that people expect from their cities. So we have questioned, you know, whether we should put them together one ordinance at a time or wait until we can sit down and do a book of ordinances and such. But always then the underlying thing, no matter what, is, as Rick was saying, we don't have the enforcement, we don't have the funding for it. And that will come. Unfortunately, it doesn't help, you know, people right now. But, you know, as far as enforcement, we could contract with the county and such, but we do have to get there. We're not at all unsympathetic to your situation.
Because, you know, some of the outcomes right now are that we can't practice anymore. Mm-hmm. I talked to the lead 4-H extension office person, Ken Botham in Redmond, and she said, yeah, we can't practice there, and because the owner lives about a block and a half away. Mm-hmm. He does not consider these dogs dangerous. When we asked initially the tan bull, the one that had her neck, could be euthanized since the attack was unprovoked and called for. So, and he's refusing to deal with it at all.
Well, I'm glad you brought this to the council, because that really does bring it, you know, much more to the forefront. We have some serious issues out there. And
I don't think we need dogs in and around our schools and parks that are pit bulls that are attacking people.
Dogs.
Yeah.
They're all a potential attacker.
You know,
kids.
Some kid there with his lab.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, who's next? It could be a kid.
Right, exactly.
The man lives like right across from the high school.
Right.
It's like the high school, and then there's his house right there. So there's kids. You know, kids go to the library every day after school. So they're walking right past that. And anytime one of those dogs get under the fence or, you know, some kid goes up there and thinks it's a nice dog and pets it and bites.
Yeah, potentially a very bad situation.
Just thank you for being so articulate, and I know this is probably a real emotional issue for you, that you really articulated the important points.
Mm-hmm. Would you make sure, maybe, do you have their phone number and names and all that beyond just the address he gave? So
did
make sure when you leave.
Okay.
Okay. Because we make sure, so I can call you.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do our best to do what we can. Sooner rather than later. Any other public? Go.
Yeah. Rick, when you're checking with the county, I know there are laws if a dog bites a person that that dog has to be euthanized, but I believe they have other laws. And we definitely need it not only for on leash, but dogs roaming around, but definitely they do have some laws going on. So you check with that.
So,
and the county has animal control laws.
Okay. And we really do need to stick to our public comment. You know, the format of our, you didn't get permission and go up to the podium and everything. It becomes more of an interactive, we're having discussion back and forth, and we've learned from the past that this goes on and on when we do this. So I'd like to stick to the agenda format. If anyone has a comment or an addition, okay, Ken?
On this very issue that was talked about, this dog leash law, we've heard a serious set of circumstances. I find it interesting that we wouldn't immediately take a position, that the council would take a position to at least write a letter. And I'm not saying that the city manager is not going to carry the word up there, but the city council could take a position. Probably need more equipment. Take a position, write a letter, at least citing the circumstances. And here's two or three things that come out of this. One was the policeman said, Lapine doesn't have a leash law. Okay? Well, if we had a leash law, would he have done something? I mean, think about that. Now, no, but he used that as a cop-out. But that's an issue that needs to be brought to the attention of the sheriff. Mm-hmm. Okay? A council letter would carry some weight with the sheriff. Just and even be amplified by the city manager carrying that message also. The other part is that this would not have been carried to its better end had a friend not been a police cadet that knew about a law that was on the books and contacted that policeman, and the policeman or the sheriff deputy came back and did something further. So does that mean we're getting services from the sheriff's department that are not up to the level? So are they not being trained? Do they not know what the laws are? And I think that's an issue that could be cited in a letter from the council to carry some weight to do something about a serious issue.
Good comments, Ken. Thank you for that. Anyone else?
My name is Ken Kendall. My address is 51417 Mack Court. As a citizen of Lapine, I am diametrically opposed to the construction of the BioGreen biomass facility in Lapine. I believe proceeding with this project is very short-sighted and will eventually be detrimental to the growth and prosperity of the community, and specifically the Lapine Business Park. I think the City Council is neglecting its duty to the residents of Lapine by naively accepting the sales pitch presented by BioGreen and not researching potential adverse impacts this project may have on the city. How can a company that was scheduled to begin construction last November claim to not know the exact size of the buildings and smokestacks to be erected? How can they not know which routes their logging trucks will take? The answers to these and many other critical questions need to be received and evaluated before allowing this project to go forward. The City Council, with the support of a few citizens and little or no investigation, has twice given its approval to amend the regulations with regard to building heights. I assume these regulations were established to prevent the construction of monstrous buildings, smokestacks, and fuel piles, which might facilitate unwanted pollution of various types. pay to dismantle the facility and clean up the property when biomass treatment is no longer a political poster child, but when the biomass process ceases to be profitable for a corporation far from Lapine? If the proposed plant will cost an estimated $68 to $75 million to build, I'm guessing it might take around $10 million to remove it and clean up the site years from now. If we receive the projected $73,000 a year in property taxes and saved every penny of that money, it would take over 136 years to amass $10 million. What consideration is BioGreen offering for the additional wear and tear to the streets of the city? Job creation. Certainly jobs are important to Lapine, throughout Oregon and the nation, but at what cost? Don't just blindly follow those who would have growth at any cost. The citizens of Lapine treasure their rural atmosphere, and to accept a proposal from outside interests without consulting all of the citizens of Lapine and conducting a thorough analysis of the project is a dereliction of the duties of the City Council. Ask all the necessary questions, demand answers, and fully analyze the long-range impact that a project like this will have on the community before you allow it to continue. Weigh the potential positives, increased tax revenue, a few more local jobs, against the potential negatives, adverse visual impacts, noise, traffic, and possible air pollution, along with the possible further reduction of property values for some of your residents. Take the time to visit and research other projects of this type. Don't let BioGreen rush your decision-making process just because they weren't properly prepared to meet the government's deadline for taxpayer subsidies. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Kendall. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm Wally Kinchin, 16945 Cato Road. And I have two questions or comments. One of them is on Cagle, all the streets north of Cagle feed into Cagle and dead end. And everybody uses Cagle as a feeder street to Huntington. And it's none of the streets up there are paved. It's all dirt. I'm just curious, when is that been any plans to pave that street? Our future plans, or where do we stand on improving, doing something to the infrastructure in the Cagle subdivision?
Very quickly, the council has, you know, talked about that. We would like to do those kind of improvements. Paving, of course, is very, very expensive. And we do have a road maintenance program up there. And as you know, we put some rock on the roads. And we bladed them a couple of times. But one thing that we have talked about is oil mat. And I don't know how far, you know,
well, I don't have it in front of my mm-hmm. property. Mm-hmm. And it helps. Uh-huh. But it doesn't do any good. It just, in front of mine, it keeps the dust and stuff out of the house and everything else. Well, a little bit.
Right.
But in the summertime, that's just a dust storm up there.
Part of it.
Big dust cloud.
A big part of it is, of course, amassing the funds to do that. As a new city, you know.
Okay, what would be the priority? I'm just curious on priority on at least getting Cagle and Schedule, which is the two main feeder streets, at least get them done.
I think that's far enough out that really we don't have, there's not a way that we can put a timeline on it, unfortunately. I know that's not the answer.
Is there any way to form a bond issue or have the city council maybe Rick would know?
Like a local improvement district? two things. One is one of the things we'll need to start in January or so, in the next few months, is our own transportation system plan for the city. And then that's going to say, well, the way you're describing it is like that's a collector street,
mm-hmm.
because everyone feeds into it.
Right.
And the transportation system plan will lay out where these collector streets are, and then you'll start to prioritize those. And they'll do, you know, everything from sidewalks to streets to curbs and so on. And so then the council will start to prioritize, you know, if that's the number one inside the city type road, then it gets built first. If it's number two, it gets built second.
Most all the other streets, I think, in the city are paid.
I'm not picking the street. I'm just saying they'll go through and figure that out. Then you know, we apply for some grants on some of it. We will then establish an SDC. We can't establish an SDC, a system development charge for roads, until you have the plan that says what roads you're going to do, and then they get costed. Then you, there's a whole formula to create. You know, you're a year out on probably a finished TSP plan that's adopted and approved. The state of Oregon goes along with it, because we won't start it for 4 or 5, 6 months. It'll take 6 months to do it, and then you will establish your SDC in there, and you know, start on down the process of picking out which roads you're going to start working on and to what level you're going to build or improve them.
Okay.
But if you want to rush it, the LID process, which is a lot of neighborhoods do it all over Oregon, and that's where you figure out what the cost of that would be, and if you and your neighbors, and if you get over 51% of you were to sign and agree, the 49% and under come along for the ride, and then it's divided over 10 or 20 years at a low interest rate, and you pay, you know, you pay so much a year, and then when the houses sell, it's paid off. Usually, that's one of the requirements.
Well, I'm just curious: does the homeowner do that, or is there something the city can do?
It's driven by the homeowners.
Can the city do a bond issue on their own?
Yep. Well, we'd have to go through and figure that out. But we participate with you and get the money, and you don't have to go to a bank or something.
Right. So what I'm just doing is, can the city do the forming and whatever paperwork and legal stuff you have to do or whatever to let's say, bring this to a vote?
You know, the city's going to be involved, but normally it has to be what people would call ground-up driven, not top-down. If you're asking the city to go out and start running around and asking people, you know, hey, we want to do this and we want you to pay, you know, it's usually what happens. You go get your neighbors and where you want to do it. You have your own little community meetings to find out, is there support for this? And you start working on it. Then you sit down with us and say, you know, we think we have, if you don't get 50% of the people, it's a dead. So,
well, I can understand that in unincorporated areas, but I can't understand that incorporated where the city took over and should be doing the infrastructure work. When you're talking about a bond, you're talking about from the ground up. I can understand that if we were out in the county, but I can't understand it in the city.
Well, I think that it's just, do you have support amongst the neighbors? And
I don't know. Well, I mean, how many people know 10 people down the street? You don't. And I don't know how many people live in the Cagle subdivision, to tell you the truth. But everybody I've talked to, you know, who wants to live on a dirt road? Do you?
I don't live on one.
Okay, the property values in the Cagle subdivision probably go up 15 to 20% just by paving those roads.
And that's actually the nexus for why they pay a little more, because that's why you paid a certain price for the lot, because there was no paved streets. And therefore, you do gain that value and quality of life, and so therefore, that's how people are willing to pay a couple $100 a year extra.
Well, it would increase the value of the area, of course, and people moving in, supposedly, yeah, with new jobs and stuff, they're not going to want to live in the Cagle subdivision. I wouldn't live there if I wasn't misled on the improvements to the road. And the second thing I'd like to bring up is our neighbor called in, had a reckless driver going down the road, and I talked to the sheriff, and the sheriff said, well, there's not much he can do because there's no posted speed limits. He said, so actually, if a road or any of those streets through there, there's no speed limit.
At the end of Doe, it's posted 15 miles an hour for dust control.
Well, that's Doe, but it's not on cable. Not on schedule.
Is that something that we can go to Serpico with then? The county and get some signs up?
Well?
On a dirt road, and that especially in the wintertime, 15, 20 miles an hour would be, I would consider an adequate speed limit, but believe me, that's maybe a lot faster than that. Okay.
I understood that it was county roads that were paved only, that we didn't have city roads yet.
There's no paved roads up where we're at.
No, but the county roads are.
What do you mean, for speed limits or for paving?
No, for paving. Because I wondered when I moved here also about all the dirt roads.
Yeah.
And, you know, why some were paved and I was told they were county.
Well, that I don't know.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
You and I talked about this on the telephone, and I sympathize with you because I live right down the street. You know, I got a big, dirty, dusty road, too. The county has never had anything to do with any of the roads and cable. We've always had to do our own grading, our own snow removal, everything. Now it's the responsibility of the city. We would love to pave those roads. Somebody can tell me where we get $2 million. We can start next week. Where are we going to get the money from? It's going to cost at least $2 million bucks to pave. We got to do all, you have to do the right-of-way, you have to survey, you have to, those roads are only 21 feet wide. You're going to have to go into your neighbor's yard. I'm going to lose trees in my front yard. The guy across the street from me is going to lose his fence across the front. I would love to see those roads paved. I don't know where we're getting.
Well, they paved coming in, and they did a small portion where they had the low-income housing, and it's not that wide.
This would be a good topic, I think, for our public works. That's what we need. Because you're going to have to sit and kind of dialogue this, because
And the other part is that the speaker, there's no speed control. Like I said, the sheriff said there's, when he's going to give us somebody a ticket. I thought there might be a pre-fascist speed limit there.
Residential zones is 25. You don't have to mark.
Well, that's only with a paved road. But
yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Now, she says it's 20 miles an hour, but they just put that after dust control. 15. But they put up the dust control. It seems to me that one of the priorities, and it doesn't take a lot of money to go in there and put, speed limit signs all through that. Well, I would say all through just the, entrance on the roads.
Okay.
Because the sheriff said he can't give it, he couldn't do anything because there's no, the city hasn't put any speed signs.
Well, would you be willing to come back from our public works committee starts meeting and let them know all of your concerns? As you can see, there are a lot of issues.
Well, not just my concern, it's a lot of people.
Oh, no, I understand that. Yes. Yeah, I have friends and relatives in Cagle subdivision, too. Obviously it's very involved, and there's more than one issue. It's not just paving. It's widening the right ways we need to hear from people like you who live in the subdivision. We need that kind of input on our committee. So do you use the internet? Watch our website and see when the after the committee is formed and when they start meeting, and please show up and give your input.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Thanks, sure.
Any other public comment? All right, then. Did I miss anyone? Sometimes I don't see hands waving. Andrew Spreadborough, CYC report. Thanks for being so patient.
No problem. Hi, my name is Andrew Spreadborough. I'm with COIC Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council. Thank you for the time on the agenda. I can tell you got a full agenda. I was briefed that I'd have no more than 10 minutes, so if I start to run over, feel free to cue the exit music and I'll dash out. But really my purpose for coming today is to let you know about a project that COIC is working on that I think is of interest to the city, both the staff and the council, and to give you an opportunity to ask any questions, provide feedback, but primarily just to give you the heads up on what we're working on. Maybe as a starting point, I'll give the very brief overview of our organization, just in case some of you are not all that familiar with us. COIC is a regional council of governments, and this is an organization type that there are five or six others around the state and many across the country. It's a regional public organization that serves Crook, Deschutes, and Jefferson counties. And the purpose of the organization, there are several. First, it's a venue for city and county governments to come together to work on regional problems or issues. We're also an organization that can take on projects that are at a regional level or have regional significance and deliver services. We convene a lot of regional committees, boards, work groups, planning efforts. And we also can provide technical assistance and support to individual cities, counties, or even organizations in areas where we have a certain level of expertise. And lastly, often we provide a means for state or federal funders to connect to regions or to provide funding within a region. What we do, we have kind of, I guess, three primary program areas. First, we're a workforce development partner at the WorkSource offices around the region, including WorkSource La Pine. Secondly, we run public transportation throughout the region, operating the Cascades East Transit System. And third, we have a community and economic development group, of which I'm a member, and that's what I'm representing today. So that's the very brief overview. I'd be happy to provide other information if you have specific questions. In terms of, the project I wanted to talk about, COIC is working on an update to our comprehensive economic development strategy. I believe there's a handout in your materials, a one-pager, that gives you kind of a write-up on it. This is a regional strategy that's been in place in one form or another for probably 20 years since COIC's managed it the entire time. It serves two primary purposes during that time period. First, it serves as a strategy to meet an economic development administration, a federal requirement. The regions have this kind of strategy in place to get funding from the EDA flowing into a region. We have that in place. Secondly, it was a strategy for the Central Oregon Community Investment Board, which was a now defunct economic development board that invested lottery money in economic development projects. That board's gone away. And it's time to do an update. So really, this update is going to be around primarily conducting a regional, what's commonly known as a regional needs and issues process. It's an effort for communities and organizations to identify high priority community and economic development needs, project needs for which state or federal funding are necessary. It's an effort to get them on a regional kind of priority list, and then to use that list as a means to market those high priority projects, needs or gaps to state or federal funders. That's kind of the central and really the most important component of this strategy update. It's a process that will be beginning this month in August. Our board and we have a board committee working on this, and our staff have been kind of working on the process for about 6 to 8 months now. Right now we're in the process of getting out and meeting with economic development groups, committees, city councils, boards of commissioners throughout the region. We're nearly done with that outreach, so we're about to begin this process to solicit project concepts. This is a process that was done statewide up until about 10 years ago. The state defunded that process. And so some regions have continued it while others have not. It's our understanding and belief that the regions that are very organized in developing priority lists do better in competing for funding at the state and federal level. So if, as a region, we can really understand what those project needs are and make those connections, I think, you know, the assumption is that it will lead to more funding for high priority projects and issues. In terms of just the nuts and bolts process, we'll be sending out information. Certainly the city staff will be getting that. Probably out within the next couple weeks. What we'll be looking for is just a submission of those project concepts. And there are several categories. I'm not going to go into all the details because I know time is tight, but there are categories such as infrastructure, employment lands, business assistance and incentives, community facilities, etc. The list will be assembled over the fall and kind of approved by the COIC board in the early winter after the first of the year. And then the implementation phase begins. And that's the important part where we take this list out again to state and federal funders and try to see if we can make those connections, logical funding connections. Last thing I'll close by saying is what this is not. It's done under our economic development strategy, this kind of process, and that allows us to do the work using funding that we use for this economic development strategy update. But it's really not an effort to, it's not a classical economic development strategy in that we're not working on setting goals for communities or even the region. What we want to do is reflect the strategies that are already in place. There are plenty of economic development groups working around the region. So we really want to tie to their vision and goals and identify the public types of projects that are needed to implement or to move toward those goals. So that's kind of the way we're trying to tie this into local and regional efforts around economic development. That's my very quick spiel. Be happy to answer questions. We'll have more opportunities over time, certainly, to get information.
Okay. So you will be contacting us.
Yes.
Getting a hold of all the jurisdictions and everything.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of it, had an opportunity in case you had questions or concerns to be able to to have the heads up, I guess.
And I know you know how to contact us. That's how we got our first, what was it, $10,000 to work on, was through COIC.
It got up to 12.
That's COIC is where the city of Lafayette got their first $12,000 of operating funds from. Yeah. And we appreciate it to this day.
So what kind of projects have the cities been submitting
for? We haven't begun the process yet, but really what we're looking for are projects that are going to be within several categories. And we're trying to make this as broad as possible, and we want to make this useful to cities and counties. But really the categories are going to be infrastructure, be water, sewer, roads. Anticipating a question about roads, but yes, it could be roads. Employment lands, having availability of industrial lots or job creation types of properties, business assistance or incentives, specific programs or projects that benefit businesses, workforce and education. I mean, if there's training programs that need to be in place to connect to industry. Educational institutions, industry and sector support, community readiness, which is kind of our catch-all category, capacity building, etc. And then there's a downtown or brownfield types of categories, downtown revitalization would be a category. So we kind of have a lot of different categories. And really, these are the ones where we can identify funding sources out there that theoretically exist, and we can theoretically, again, make those connections with funders within those categories. There's no promise of funding, and that's really the message out here. This is just what we think is an ability to better position projects within Central Oregon for funding. And if we're successful in one or two, then it's probably worth the effort.
So my understanding is that, we're not going to be coming with you with ideas, we're coming with you with engineered plans and that type of thing, right?
Well, we anticipate projects, quote unquote, will be in different phases of development, certainly. What we want to reflect is what's most important to the city, in your case. We recognize that projects that are ready to proceed are always going to compete better for funding. Mm-hmm. And really, when we talk about developing lists and doing some level of prioritization, that's really a key we'll be looking at, is readiness to proceed. Before we take a project and try to promote it to a funding source, we want to see that it meets that readiness to proceed threshold. Now, if there's a very high priority at the city that isn't ready to proceed, maybe there's ways of finding funding to do some development or project development or capacity development. So that could be an outcome. So I don't want to discourage anything that is a high priority for which it's logical to pursue state or federal funding.
Okay.
Andrew, are you going to be prioritizing these by the community, does it go to a countywide or to a regional wide, or how is that being done? We could have a meeting, people will bring in the projects in Lapine, and it can be there's many projects out there. The good president of the chamber told me about one yesterday. I was with Justin at the Parks District today, he's got projects. Karen's got the sidewalk park. I mean, there's a ton of neat things. Okay, so we come up with our list here. Then does that go in and then create the list, and then does someone decide this one or that one, or how does that work?
I'll tell you our current thinking, and I'll also say it's still a little flexible and would welcome any feedback and comments. But really, the idea at this point is to create lists within each of those categories that are blended, that include Bend, Lapine, Redmond, Bank. And we understand that it's very difficult to do a high level of prioritization. We're not going to come up with a 1 through 30, because then there are winners and then there are losers. We don't want to create that situation, because funders don't want to fund 30. They want to fund 1 and 2 and 3, and so it becomes a great tug of war. However, we know that there's also value in having some level of prioritization. So we're going to do a very, very limited level of prioritization. And that level will be, we want to identify high priority projects, and then maybe medium priority, or ones that need more development.
So you're going to have you'll have several in the high, several in the medium, and then my guess is, being around this long enough, that within the high, you're going to cover your bases.
I'm sure. I mean, the bottom line of this is we don't want to jeopardize a project that is a high priority for the pond or any community. I mean, this is our process. I mean, we don't want to do anything that hinders it. And we know that by some being high priority and some being medium, the high priorities are going to be a better position. So when we do prioritization, we're not doing a qualitative assessment, meaning I'm not looking at Lapine's project and saying, I think this Bend one's more important.
The danger for a smaller town is, and I come from one and now I'm representing one, is that then that becomes the list, and you said federal and state, and then when you go to Greg Walden or Ron Wyden or to CDBG or pick your program, that they say, well, the regional process says these are the top ones, and it's harder for us to move up, smaller towns move up the food chain. Just take First Street traffic signal. Not that that would be on that type of a list, but just take it because it's easy. It's something important to Lapine. But if you in Central Oregon were on any standard of traffic and impact and traffic counts, it probably would be 20th or 30th. Any intersection in Bend would raise higher because of congestion and so on. So we end up being 30th. It can't get funded. So that's the danger of creating a list for the small little towns. And because, you know, as soon as Bend or Redmond wants something, because of sheer numbers, it becomes a high priority. And that's the danger representing the small town. So then I go to Ron Wyden and say, look, this is important. Well, they're going to immediately go to this list and say, well, yeah. And so that's why I'm kind of flushing you on, in the high priority, there has to be geographical also understanding, or else this isn't going to go well.
And that's why we're not
numbering.
We're not numbering. This isn't your concern only. This is a concern across the region.
Okay.
And we're not going to do 1 through 30 for that very reason. Again, I understand there's some value in having a high priority list, but this is our list. We can have 100 projects in our high priority list, and we can have 10 each from each jurisdiction if that's what we want. When I say we, it's not our staff. Our board will be doing it.
Yeah, as long as everyone gets some high priority projects, you know, we don't care how long the list is.
One more thing in terms of process. When we come up with a draft list, once we've got all this information, we're going to have a good 2-month period to collect the information. We'll come up with a draft based on our process and criteria. We'll hold public meetings, at least one in each county, and take comments from city, from economic development groups, and we may have it wrong. We fully acknowledge that. But again, we think the benefits outweigh the risks in trying to formalize a process to promote those projects. I'm sorry, Barbara.
At several of the meetings we've had around town, our beautification project for the highway has come up, and CYC is always mentioned as a group that could help us. Is there anything that we could get out of that? I know that Phil Chang's name was put in it at one time, but how do you work with that?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. We certainly have areas of expertise. This specific process, the connection we're trying to make here is economic development type projects. And I'm not saying a beautification project wouldn't be on that list.
Well, it would be developing the economy to get people to stop.
So is the question, you're looking for a logical funding source that could help support that? Or
right.
Are you looking for a group to help lead the effort? Or, I mean...
Well, to help the businesses kind of spruce things up so that they look inviting.
I don't know that we've done a project exactly like that, but you know, I guess it depends on what role you want us to play. You know, if it's pursuing funding, if we know about a funding source and you need some help packaging up a project, yeah, I think we can help. But if it's more technical assistance around downtown beautification, I don't know that we have direct experience in that. We'd be happy to help where we can, and we can definitely have a discussion on that.
Right. Well, I thought it was interesting that COIC comes up quite a bit.
Well, often we're seen as a resource for capacity or to move projects along.
Loans or whatever.
We're here to serve the city, so we would welcome exploring this opportunity, but I'm not sure we have direct experience on that specific topic.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Could I offer a comment?
Yeah.
You can say yes.
Yes. I do like to stick to the format, like I said, if it's, you know, and go up to the...
Well, it's just that we've got so many groups often splinters, and now COIC comes in. We've worked with RCAC. We went through a SWOT assessment. It's been a day doing that for the area in terms of economic development. EDCO has been working with us on this, and it seems like we've got all these different groups, and there's no coordination.
Well, one thing that I did notice in here is that they say this will not duplicate efforts or supersede local on-the-ground economic development efforts. So, pretty much it's our choice. You'll be...
Yeah, I'd say if you have a strategy that resulted from the RCAC work, then that's what we want to receive.
Now, what we might need to do as a community is come up with, we have our own discussion before they get there to find out what would be our top four or five things. Infrastructure for economic development, that sounds like where you're headed, say.
With a lot of funding sources.
Yeah. And whatever the deal is going to, and then we kind of have to help prioritize. Then when they come down, we kind of submit. Deb, you're right. There's lots of groups. And I think, when I was at the EDCO meeting, that, I mean, EDCO's, I think, expressed issues with it. So, I mean, everything.
Thank you, Ted. That was one of the first things that I thought of, too, and you didn't have the advantage of having the printout in front of you to see that.
COIC is a great organization. I chaired it for several years. Was on it for 10 years on the board, and it's a good group, and they do a lot of neat things.
So it's in your packet. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you very much. Okay. Now we move on to number 8, selection of charter committee members. And we talked about a little process before the meeting, and then we neglected to do that. That's okay. How do you suggest we go about this?
Well, I think Adele was going to make some comment, but basically we were thinking you got a ballot, and then let people vote. The four are kind of automatic, unless you want to spend time on that. But the other, the five is automatic. The four, you've got the names here. You interview. You were here. I wasn't. You've got a ballot, and then basically pick which four you want, and then see where it ends up. There may be consensus, so there's no issue.
Six. Okay, I have six.
Mrs. Mayor. I need to make a fast comment before we get started anymore. Since my wife, Karen, is a candidate as a city resident for the committee, I will excuse myself from voting for any city resident candidate. I don't want to have any look of impropriety or conflict of interest, even though I don't think that's accurate. But I will only vote for non-city resident only.
All right.
Well, I have a question. I understood that... we were not going to take spouses. And so if we have just five and we are going to appoint all of them, it's different than what I understood.
Okay. I'm coming up with six resident.
I thought someone told me, you told me there were only five, but I haven't actually counted. Mm-hmm.
I've only got five.
Well, on our list, at the very top, it shows Linda Johnston as non-resident, but you are a resident. So we do have six.
So let's just go. So Linda Johnston's a resident. Ken, Karen Ward, Patrice, Shelley, and Bob, who was here tonight, right?
Okay, Shelley dropped out.
Oh. Okay, then how many do we have?
Linda Johnston, Ken Mullinex, Karen Ward, Patricia Johnson, Patrice Musso,
so
Bob Steffens.
So there's six. So the legal, did you make up a ballot for that? For the city one?
Because I thought we just had five.
Can Luana or someone just, because it's on our computer, just get a list or...
Yeah. Okay. Well, go ahead and do non-residents first.
We could do non-residents while she's working on that.
Yeah, well, sure.
While we're talking.
Oops. I only have five.
So you've got to remove Linda Johnston off the non-resident.
Linda Johnston is a resident.
I've got her, yeah, I know.
Okay, I would also
like to point out that I also agree that I feel that there is a possible conflict of interest with Karen Ward's application, even though I thought you were very articulate. I do appreciate you applying. I think that we should strike that application out, not unless you can convince Councilor Ward to step down.
I didn't hear all of
it. Unless you can convince Councilor Ward to step down.
Well, I think the idea of any conflict of interest with her being on a committee and me being on this council is just plain silly. And I won't say any more about it.
Let me suggest this. As I stated at, I believe it was our last meeting or a couple meetings ago anyway, that it is not illegal. And some people view it as a conflict or as maybe even not ethical or just not a good thing to do to have spouses serving. What I suggest is that it will come out in the voting anyway if enough people... You know, we have the Council Ward is not going to vote if there are enough people who feel strongly enough that Karen shouldn't serve on the committee. That will show up in the tally when we vote. Does that work for everyone?
We'll try it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to start with non-resident while we're waiting for her to type stuff up? So just if you pass those out, Barb, I think Barbara's got them. And then circle your four. If you got one, and circle them, and then hand them down to Luana, and she'll be tallying. Then I thought we could go on to some other issues while she's tallying, keep things moving so people get to go home.
Mm-hmm. I forgot who Laura Beatty is. Is she?
Oh, she's
not
she?
Here.
Was the little gal in pink, I think it was?
And she had a pretty chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah.
So we're doing one for each.
Oh, this is hard.
Just do one.
Just do one.
We have to keep revoting, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Get four on one sheet.
Goodness.
And this is non-resident.
Yeah.
Just keep those away. Don't even put those out yet. But
okay.
I don't want to.
I don't have a
lot
of time here.
Are you done?
Yes.
This is like Survivor.
We've got Price Waterhouse here. Sure. Like the hospital.
The categories.
Okay. So she'll spend some time tallying that. If you would care, Mayor, we could go on then and we can just take breaks on our other topics.
Sure. While the tally, the first tally is going on, we will move on to bookkeeping services contract.
Okay. Our current bookkeeper, which is here. Where is she?
Back here.
She has put in a lot of time and work and wanted to, and she was going to charge us a hair more, and that put us over our $5,000 cap, which requires informal quotes. And we, Patty, you can tell us what we are. Luana is actually doing that. We put an ad out, and we did it on the internet and sent out to three or four firms. Mm-hmm. And we did get three phone calls. One didn't respond back. Mm-hmm. A second one said they would like it, but they really can't handle it. And that was which company?
The Vantex.
Okay. And so the only one that actually submitted a proposal was
Mary.
And so what I did is I took her contract that you had before and put the new rate in it. And it's how much more a month?
$75
a month more. And that just puts us barely over the cap of $5,000. And so my recommendation would be that we would approve. That's one of those things. We also did it for 3 years. And so we don't have to do this again. And that's what ultimately we want to get to. When we get our CPAs and we do 3-year deals, But we do have a 30-day clause, so if either party wants to part company, you can. So you're not locked in for 3 years, but we're set. So people had a chance to quote. Some did, some didn't. And Mary did, and I would recommend. She's done a great job. She's been fun to work with. And you know, most cities have that done internally, but we're small, and for right now, I think it's working fine. I think as we grow, you know, it might have to change. But for now, it's working good. So I'm trying to clear up contracts. That's why you had the other one up there for IT. You're going to see me kind of roll these through, because all most of our contracts we have expired.
So do you need a consensus or a vote?
No, you should vote to approve it. Since it was above the $5,000.
So does anyone have any questions, concerns, comments regarding...
So what was the total amount?
It's 475 times... It's in here.
5,400, I think, wasn't it, or something like that?
It's spelled out in the contract.
Yeah.
Where is it? Okay. Is that right? 5,400.
I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Yes.
I've been in the office several times when Mary's been down here working, and I think she's very diligent, and the reports that I've seen come out of the office are excellent reports, and I feel that, in my personal opinion, I think she's been doing a very good job for us.
I agree. That has been my observation, too.
The other good thing I should say, because we're a small operation, is those who do it internally, they fight this with their audits all the time, separation. When you've only got a couple, three employees, if you do it internally, it's that checks and balance. By having someone who's on the outside, who comes in, that really separates it. Because she sees the bills, she writes out the checks. So that's an outside person looking at them. Mm-hmm. Then I look at them, Luana looks at them, you approve them. There's a whole checks and balance. Otherwise, you have someone that's there kind of... So this is good.
Mm-hmm. Looks better to the auditors, too.
Yes, it does.
Any other council comments, questions?
She has a monopoly on the city, doesn't she?
The parks. Now, we're not going to hold that against her, are we? That just means she's good, right?
Right, definitely.
All right. If there are no further questions or comments or concerns, I'll entertain a motion to approve the bookkeeping services contract with Thorson Bookkeeping and Accounting.
I so move.
Been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McAfee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brown, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now you're stuck. Oh, that's right. We just have a clause. We need to get out. Really need to.
Okay. What we'll do now, that's why you have a second sheet. Go to your second sheet, and I want you to cross off a couple of free names, because basically we have a complete tie, so there's some. So what we have to do is get rid of below the ones, and so now you will vote. So Art Euchre, cross him off. And of course, this doesn't mean these are all fantastic people. Wish we had them all. Linda Reed, cross her off. And Vicki Jackson, cross her off. Okay, that should be leaving you Gloria Fleming, Laura Beebe, Linda Bauman, Mary, and Sandra Jones. Is that right?
Linda Johnston.
No,
yeah, Linda should be off.
That's right, she's on. That's right.
Okay. So now, so what you're down to, you have five names. You get a vote for four.
Okay.
And I think we'll try to get these down here and just tally them.
One more.
Hold the mayor. Do you want to move on to our IGA sewer extension and water?
We will do that. We are now on item number 10, IGA extension, the sewer and water districts. Rick will bring us up to speed on that.
For several months, they've been working on the IGA agreement between the districts and the city, and the one that you had expired, I think it was December. We haven't had one since January 1st, so for about 7 months, it's just been expired, and the attorneys have been going back and forth. I know that some of you have attended some of the meetings back and forth. Dawn is here tonight. We've had Ashley here different times, but people have come and gone. However, the agreement has not been, we've not had one to present to us that we would agree to, nor we had one that they would agree to. So it's been kind of a back and forth. Jeremy and I need direction on a couple key components. And so what will come back later if one gets worked out, then, you know, there's a few little sentences here and there, but they're pretty minor that we can work through. But we do need direction from the council on two issues. And they are the length of the contract. The district wants it to be 2 years from when we sign it. So if it takes us another couple, 3 months to sign it, you would add 2 years to that. And the other one is, I'm just trying to get to the, is on page 2, item 10, which is the mutual requirement to consult and coordinate. And what it says is, during the 2 years, the city would not initiate any ORS 222, which is the law in how you acquire, annex, withdrawal. So that would basically initiate the districts coming into the city and being under the city's jurisdiction. So what they're doing is, it says, during that 2 years, you cannot initiate anything that would cause the annexation, incorporation, withdrawal, or extinguishment of the two existing districts. However, the city, should the city begin informal planning for the annexation, you know, they would allow informal planning. So those are the two issues. One is the length of the contract. They want 2 years. I would recommend less, and we can get to that. And then this this requirement that stops you or forbids you from working on anything officially is problematic. So we need, though, a vote from the council on these and separately, so that we then have our order, so that we can go back to their board knows it, and also their legal counsel knows it. And they canceled their meeting for next week. I was planning on being there and starting to kind of work through some of this, but they're now not meeting until September 21st, so the attorneys will go back and forth for a while on this, and then we can talk more. Would you want to go to the date first? Or
what?
Do you want to go on the length of the contract first?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. The length, you know, my recommendation is June 30th of 2011, basically a year from now, but now it's 11 months. And that's because that's the end of the fiscal year. You start July 1st with the new fiscal year. Under Oregon law, if we do a withdrawal, you have to have the ordinances approved by March so it can take effect that July, or else it has to skip to the following July, which would be 12. I think that 11 months is plenty of time to work together and accomplish that. As long as both sides are working forward to the same end, it's more than enough time. And so I think that that's the date that I would recommend. I think that going out 2 years, of course, then you get into the whole other paragraph, that's a whole different set of issues. But going out 2 years is you don't need 2 years to study this and to look at it. Mergers happen all the time, and they're tough, they're always controversial, they're filled with things that cause problems, and it's natural. I mean, they really are natural. And those closest to it have the biggest problems with it. You know, nothing I'm saying is unique to this issue or to Lapine. It is what happens at any time you merge districts. When cities were formed, the idea was they would centralize these services. And that's why the laws are set up to where they are. He talked about infrastructure. He plans on coming to the city to talk about infrastructure. Infrastructure is road, sewer, and water. He's not making presentations to the individual water districts, individual sewer districts. You know, that just shows you, glorifies, you know, explains why this needs to happen and why it was contemplated when the city was formed. Those of you who have looked and remembered, it was in the ballot title. If you talk to those who wanted the incorporation, it was talked about everywhere. Then in the ballot title, and that's bold and black, it said it was, the intention was that they would come together. And then you go to the expo note where it's explained, it's said again, and I think the quote is that it's, the assumption is that the districts would be dissolved and merged into the city. So the voters went to the polls and voted for that. It's been voted on in the community. It was clear from the beginning at every level. 4 years have gone by, and you've had little or minimal, really no movement toward it. I read back in minutes in 09 and this year where you go to meetings and it's talked about, the mayor would go and there's a comment about something. We formed a utility committee, but we've really just kind of danced this thing. And it's time to kind of move it forward. It's an integral part of becoming the city that you anticipated. Not me, I wasn't here. You people laid that out as a roadmap for this community. And we need to move forward on that. And so extending it out 2 more years is just another delay tactic. I mean, there's no reason for it. We need to move forward on it. I think there's good folks at the Sewer and Water District. Now, I'll add, we wouldn't be in this spot if they hadn't done such a good job. Lapine has grown because of the hard work of those people at the Sewer and Water District. Those board members who formed those things 20 years ago and 10 years ago have worked their tail off to build a good system and a good district. And that has allowed you to become the city that you are. But everything moves on and everything evolves. And this is the next step in that evolving process. And it'll be painful, and there'll be some roadblocks, and we won't do it perfectly. But it can happen, and it will happen. And I think we need to set the date that's realistic. We can easily accomplish it. And I would think we would have a resolution before you by February. We could do it in 60 days, 90 days if we wanted to. I think realistically, work on it for the next few months. Then February, do our resolution and move forward on the withdrawal. And when the next issue on the agenda is the Public Works Committee, and just throw it in that one of my recommendations is to have a couple of seats there where we could get people from the sewer and water boards to sit on our Public Works Committee. They're voting members. They're not, advisory. They would actually serve on the board, and we would allow their participation and invite them and do this cooperatively. And hopefully, myself working with the staff, with Donna, and so we can start working on it with our Utilities Committee and then move this along. So that isn't what you wanted, but you did have to get a little speech, I think, to set the tone. So that date, I would say June 30th, 2011.
Okay, so I moved to...
I didn't call for a motion.
Okay.
Does council have any input, any further questions or comments?
Not for me, thank you.
Or anything? We do have a couple citizens signed up to give comments on this. Ted Scholler.
Ted Scholler, Cardell Drive in Lapine. I'm your chairman of the Utilities Committee. And we've been working on this, and actually since Rick has come on board, we've been moving along much better on this. I think one phrase he mentioned sums it all up. It can happen. it can happen without having to postpone it 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. It's something that the voters voted on for the city, and I think it needs to be an integral part of the city. And there's no reason why we can't get it done in operation by July 1 next year. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Dan Barco.
Yeah, Dan Barco on Pender Street. I guess wanted to just say I appreciate you guys getting to this point. It's actually has come together pretty fast, and it's neat to see it happening, and it'll be something that the people around will be able to say, look what the city's doing. It's something very tangible and functional, and I think something that we can be proud to say, you know, that we're doing. I get a lot of comments where there's not a lot of things people can see that looks like progress is happening. This is something that I think they can see, we can talk about, document, look like we're moving in the right direction. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dan. All right, if the council has no other comments or questions or concerns, I will entertain a motion to have the manager and the attorney continue working on getting agreement to extend the IGA for 1 year. Correct? That's what.
To June 30th of 2011.
To June 30th, excuse me. To June 30th, 2011.
I so moved.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor McPhee, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Grant, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. All right, then. We can move on to the...
We can move on to the other language, or
we can do our next vote thing.
Well, get this excitement.
We can do that, yeah.
I circled the winners on that one.
Where'd you serve?
That.
Oh, those.
Do we have wieners now, or do we have to do it again?
No, we got wieners. So we're good. Sandra Jones, Mary Thorson, Linda Valman, Laura Beebe, all the four.
Sandra, Mary.
What are the total nine? What are the total nine?
Say those again.
That make up the committee.
Oh, that was the four.
We haven't voted.
We haven't done the five. Okay.
Well, do your city one now. You need to do five. Pick five and then put those down to the one, and we'll continue our discussion.
Okay, we need to pick up the old ones and then pass up the new ones.
Oh, yeah. Here comes your new ballots. Get rid of these.
Oh, I want to keep the new ones. My final one.
Those are old.
I just want to jump in one of the white ones.
Oh, do you want me to vote?
There you go, Sue. There's just a couple of them. Go ahead and vote for five. There you
Are we also going to have a letter written before we get?
What was that?
Have a letter written as Ken suggested.
Is there right here?
A letter for regarding the dog issue for the sheriff.
Oh, Rick's going to handle that for us.
Okay, ready to move on the sewer deal? Okay. The second part of that was that we need direction on is the item 10, which you have there, and that is the question of during the term of this, now we have said up to June 30th, during now, between now and then, you cannot formally do anything that's going to cause the withdrawal, annexations, and mergers. The problem with that, that's a circular firing squad. Because in order to get it to take effect on July 1st, we have to do it before March 1st. The contract would still be in existence. And it says you can't formally work on it. But you're going to have a hearing and have an ordinance adopted. That's official. That's not informal. That's formal. And so this is a circular firing squad they're creating that it would never happen. Because you have, even if we went with the 2 years, you'd have to wait for the 2 years before you could ever have a hearing, because that's formal. And so, you know, it would be impossible to ever do it if you followed this. So this is just a way of delaying it for no particular purpose. So my recommendation is that there's some language in there that's fine, but we wouldn't agree to anything that limits our ability to formally move forward. Because in effect, we are moving forward. And I think, I'd like to hear from the council, we're going to move forward next week. I mean, we're starting to move forward. This IGA could take another couple months. We're not going to wait till it's done. We're moving forward. The IGA may never be done, and we will have withdrawn. I mean, so either there'll be an IGA that we can sign and approve, or the district, we will have withdrawn from the district or annexed, and the IGA becomes a moot point. But I would prefer to have the IGA because I think it spells out working together and all of those things. But if you agree to item 10 as worded, what you're agreeing to is we're not merging, we're not annexing, we're not withdrawing. So
what we're essentially doing is not accepting edits or the counter ideas of the district, correct?
Yeah, I think what we would want to do is probably in some sort of a motion approve the direction you're giving us is to not include any wording anywhere in the document mm-hmm. that limits our ability to move forward now
right.
on you do this big long list.
Right.
Annexation, yeah. Withdrawal.
Okay.
And that just gives Jeremy and I then the direction as we negotiate. I think it sends a district that they know that this is your position. And if another one comes back here with that, mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's yeah. not going anywhere.
So I guess what we're looking for is a motion to have the manager and legal counsel to continue to work towards getting an IGA without that prohibitive language in it.
Yeah. So
if there's no further discussion, I will entertain such a motion.
I would so submit.
No, he submits. He doesn't move.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
That's your word, yes.
Councilor Rackley, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
One thing I might ask is maybe a couple of minutes from each of you because these were kind of technical, but to maybe a statement saying that, because I think it for the community's sake and for myself and the staff that has to work with this, you know, that you're supportive or not supportive of this needs to move forward and because you weren't real verbal in the discussion. And so maybe just some comments so that it helps us and it helps the community know that everyone's on board on this.
Well, I've always been on board with the merger or annexation or whatever of the sewer and water districts. I think they should be city run. Again, it goes back to that's what part of what the people thought that that they were voting for. And one of the things that frustrates the city a lot is that we get a lot of phone calls with people getting upset with us, or not always getting upset, but wanting answers to questions because they think that city runs the utilities because that's what people are used to. And then when it's frustrating to citizens when they learn that this isn't the place to come to and they don't understand it. And a lot of times it's very hard to get that idea across to people that, no, we don't have anything to do with water and sewer. They're complete different entities. So that would eliminate that frustration for the city and for the citizens.
I'm all for it. I think it will look good to business that we are one big entity. We have public works here, and we would be able to, what I understand, we would employ those people who are now working for the Water and Sewer District. There wouldn't be anybody laid off, that we would keep everyone there, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, but I think we should move ahead as quickly as possible.
Yes, and I'm also for it. I think that it promotes government efficiency. It also promotes economic development. An example of that would be that would allow one-stop permitting instead of going to the city with a proposal and then having to take that proposal and moving it up to the water and the sewer districts as well. So they would have to go instead of three, which has come to one entity. And I think, again, you know, that we would take all of the employees on board so no one would lose their jobs. And I think it's about time.
Mm-hmm. I think we should move forward right away. We should remove any restrictive language that ties our hands. And as far as personnel and everything else goes, I think that's something that has to be decided at a later date. But we should move forward right away.
Councilor Ryder?
I personally received 5 specific complaints about the water department, and they were quite surprised when I told them that the city couldn't do anything about it, that they had to make their complaints to the district. And they seemed to be pretty upset. They said, well, why aren't you doing this? So the people that I have talked to, generally, in addition to those other people, have said, we want the water and sewer under control of the city. And that's the general feelings that I have had from the people who are served by the Water and Sewer Department. So using their comments as the basis of my vote, I feel that I should vote for what the constituents say they want, and that's why I'm for it.
I have one question, a clarification, is that I think that aren't we mandated to take the employees on?
There's, and that's some of the things we'll work with, and I hope that the Sewer and Water Board wants to work with us because they care about their employees, and I think it's important if that's not just talking, they will work with us. But the law does address that. It's well addressed, and there's things you can do and you can't do. In a nutshell, if you can't, any employees that you're going to need to run it, they get that job. Now, say they, because they're so small, I think it's a fairly safe statement that we would in fact need, and that I'm not saying that's 100%, but probably we would need all those employees. If, say, they had more employees than we needed, the law does not make you take them all. It just says, you know, you can't go running it. You can't get rid of them and then go put an ad for some new ones. Mm-hmm. So if we need 5 people to run it, we need someone to be an administrator. We need someone to run the sewer department. You need the workers, whatever. You need someone in the billing, the clerk, to, you know. And they have those positions. We have to take those folks. If we didn't need a billing clerk, because we have the staff already on board to do it, you do not have to take the billing clerk. So they don't force you to take extra employees that you don't need, but you got to take any that you're going to take has to be from them. Mm-hmm. and you have to find, and if you have another opening in your city, we're so small, so it's not true, but say you were in a bigger town and you had an opening over in another department, you'd try to offer them a job over there. I really think after I met with Donna, Donna's been great, and you know, been very forthcoming to everything I've asked, and I appreciate that. And I went out and met with Scott and at the plant, and I, and you know, they kind of went through with me the staffing and everything. And I probably, what they have, they're going to be down to five, right? That we would need those five. And then it gets into the compensation and pay and all of that. But bottom line is, those employees would be coming over with us, I believe, all of them. And but there is a ORS's that lay that out. We don't have discretion.
On that, I'd like to say it's comforting to me to know that the districts do have all of the employees that are needed to run those districts, and they've been running well, as I like to say, things have been flowing in and things have been flowing out. And the people there would know how to keep it working that way. I would hope that they would all want to stay with us.
The employees are a valuable asset and an asset that we need, and I look forward to, you know, working with them and making this happen. Well, thanks for your comments. I just wanted to. Okay. How is this vote?
We have one that shorted their vote, so I need to find the owner and vote for five.
Well, they don't have to vote for five.
Oh.
You can undervote.
I didn't.
That might have been me, Blue.
Well, let's see if it affects the vote. If it doesn't,
I don't know. I haven't put it on there yet.
I was
well,
only...
Put these on and then just see if it affects it. Do it. Just know. I mean, it's like they don't do a recount if the recount numbers don't matter.
It's a hanging chair.
Oh, Jenny.
In fact, I know that was me. I don't know why.
Does she want to fix it?
Well, I want my other vote.
Okay.
Right. This one won't matter.
Doesn't take this long in a national election.
Well, it depends on if you have a hanging chair or not.
Yeah.
You're hung your chin. Do you want to re-vote? I mean, there is one person only voted for four.
Well, she said she
it was me, and I
oh, was you?
It was me. Oh. I know that I did that.
Right. And I don't know that it makes any difference, but then I got to where it was getting close enough to my whole line.
When did I do that? She was. Oh, she's so secretive.
Yeah.
The winner.
Okay. Our city folks will be Linda. She campaigned hard.
Yeah.
Patricia.
Patricia Johnson. Patricia Johnson.
Patrice.
Is that all?
Patrice
Musso. Ken and Bob.
Ken.
Are you Bob?
Yeah.
Bob. Okay.
All right.
So those are the five there. Then you have the four, so we need to get a motion maybe for to appoint those nine to the charter committee.
Well, that'll be in the minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll get you nine.
You have to remember you're on it.
Do you want it? Do you know which nine it is?
Yes.
Why don't you read them? So someone make them. The mayor will call for a motion.
I have them too. So either way. So I can just go ahead and call for the motion. Okay, I will entertain a motion to appoint residents Bob Steffens, Ken Molinex, Patrice Musso, Patricia Johnson and Linda Johnston, and non-residents Laura Beebe, Linda Bauman, Mary Thorson, and Sandra Jones to the Charter Committee.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, I abstain.
Councilor Recrea, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Moore, yes.
Motion passes unanimously with one abstention. All right.
Good.
We have our committee.
Thanks, and they'll be giving you, she's got your emails and phone numbers and all that, but we'll be emailing out, and we'll pass a resolution creating the actual committee in September. We'll probably be late September, 1st of October will be our first meeting. And then we'll talk about what days work best or nights, and you guys.
Oh, that's right. We appointed people to a committee that we don't even have a resolution for.
So, we know who we are, and then we'll start working that out. And those will be open to the public. People can come and partake. Okay.
Next item, resolution creating the Public Works Committee.
This is, you should have a copy of it. You just got it today. And we talked about it in our work session. This is basically taking the committee you formed, the Transportation Committee. Do you have a copy?
I didn't print. We got it emailed. I didn't print out a copy.
Nope.
Oh, here. You want to go make? It's basically taking the same committee, same wording, changing to Public Works, expanding it so it includes sewer, water, road, sidewalks, all that stuff. And the substantive changes are that we would have we have seven folks. We'll wait for her to bring that in. This is the one. 37 members. What you had before was you had 5 voting and a couple non-voting. And I've been taking away the non-voting spots on a lot of these. As you know, Barb Ann, resigned because she felt, she can get a vote. And I think that having people on committees that don't get a vote, it doesn't work. It just generically doesn't work. And if they're going to sit through the meetings and participate, they want to vote. And so I don't blame Barb Ann for feeling like, well, why should I go down there if I'm not going to vote? So what I want to do is make sure that all 7 get a vote, but it's set up the same. You had 1 person from each of the 3 neighborhoods in the transportation group, and you probably know which 3 neighborhoods. Chamber of Commerce gets to appoint someone. I think it was Liggy, maybe.
Oops, I gave you 2.
Here, I'll take one. I mine's in there. Okay, go down. Item 2 will tell you. It's the 3 neighborhoods, and they're appointed from. You have to live within those neighborhoods, I'm assuming. The Chamber of Commerce gets to appoint someone. Oh, the Planning Commission. Someone from the Planning Commission. And then 2 members will be appointed from the public at large. So those would be kind of the council gets to decide who, kind of come up with some names. I'd like to save those for a sewer or water board member. We don't have those positions right now. The Transportation Committee's never really had a quorum to meet. We never had all the positions filled, so this was a perfect time to do it. They've never actually had a meeting where they've done anything. Right. So we're kind of rescinding the one that created it to create this one. And so it's perfect timing, really. The rest of the wording is the same that you approved. We didn't change anything on conflicts and quorums and any of those things. It'd be a staffed committee with our minutes, and we'd have agendas. And just like tonight, we had people talk about a road, so that's where someone could start talking about that. We're working on our highway corridor project out here, which I had my first meeting here with ODOT and all those folks, Kittleson, Tuesday. And they'll be giving some reports to them. We'll take input, that kind of thing. So we need to get this committee up and going. And otherwise, if I didn't rush it to you today, we talked about it at our other meeting. So you guys knew it was coming. We have to wait till September. So important that we do this. And then we can start finding our members, too. We want to extend an offer out to the sewer water district, so I don't want us to appoint anyone until they've had a chance to meet. Mm-hmm. And also, the same with our utilities committee, if we'd like to get some participation from the sewer and water folks. So we're going to be very inclusive, very much want their input and involvement as we work through this to make it happen.
Now, if I understand this right, you'll have a main committee and then you'll have subgroups that can meet unofficially or officially together and not necessarily have to keep minutes and so forth?
You could have lots of the working groups under public works. So maybe some folks want to start working on how do we handle
these paved
like, let's say, Cable Subdivision. Maybe, you know, this he talks about doing LID. Maybe a couple of people off that board and the neighbors want to start meeting about how do we start doing an LID out there. Is it feasible? What would it cost? And, you know, things will pop up. And then they would come back to the committee with a recommendation. Who would then vote? Send it to you guys. And now on the utility side, we are keeping our utilities committee for the next few months until we've merged. And then once we've merged, the utilities committee could go away, and it's just a function of public works. But because it's specific and has specific things to work on that are more detail-oriented, you know, I think it's important to keep it going. And they'll work through the details on employees and staffing and how do we do this and how do you merge and how do you do it. So the devil's in the detail of all that. So this repeals Resolution 210-05 and then creates the Lapine Transportation Advisory, it creates the new public works.
Okay, so adoption of this resolution then automatically repeals
yes.
the Transportation Advisory Committee and dissolves the committee created by transportation.
Really, we're renaming it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're renaming it.
But all we have to do is simply adopt this resolution to accomplish all that.
Yes.
Okay.
One resolution does both.
Okay.
Are you planning on one meeting a month?
Yeah,
or
they'll have a monthly meeting, and I don't know when it's. When do they meet? That's on Wednesdays at 6 or?
Well, yeah, that's when it's right now, Wednesday at 6 p.m., third Wednesday of every month.
They meet right after the Planning Commission. Currently, the same guy chairs both, but that was because there weren't any people.
Yeah.
And Linda's on, right?
Yes.
Yes. We haven't been able to really meet yet.
We haven't done anything, but yes.
I'm glad she moved in the city.
And keep me busy.
They'll move other people in too.
Okay, so if we want, do we need to reword something here then if we want to have sewer and water district?
No, it's members. You get control over two members public at large. And so that's just a policy question. You're not so changing this. If they don't want to, it'd be someone
yeah.
else. See, we can't make them
okay.
participate.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying as a gesture, and I think it would behoove us to allow that offer to them. Don't fill it until they've had a chance to put some folks forward for it.
Okay.
And then if they don't, you don't, maybe they put one forward. Maybe put one on this and one on utilities. And you can do it at large. But so because this resolution will last.
Right.
You know.
Any other questions, comments?
I'm not ready yet.
Okay. Definitely do not want to vote until everyone's ready.
This isn't going to be voted on anyway, is it?
Mm-hmm. It's a resolution. It's on ordinance.
Okay.
Will the attorney attend any of these meetings or just be there for...
No, he wouldn't unless we had a reason to.
Well, counselors are still reviewing. I see we have Ken Mullinex signed up to speak on this.
I'm okay.
You okay?
Right.
One thing that I see is missing is the language that grandfathers all the existing members into this new public works committee. Also, we spent a lot of time in establishing the terms as well. So that would really help if we can just grandfather the, because you've already have the transportation committee filled.
Right.
And you have the utility committee filled.
Well, no, the transportation committee is not filled. It's never had a forum.
Okay. But we do have the existing, well, we do have some.
There's some.
That meets the criteria.
What?
Right?
Yeah, I would say you pass this, and then you can appoint people, let the same ones apply. And, I mean, you get to decide who they are.
We hope they will.
So.
So then it goes into the same application process? And
well, it's just, but it's just, we can find out who they are and just say, are you interested?
Well, the utility committee is already.
But this isn't the utility. Yeah. We're not talking about utility committee here.
But I thought that you were rolling it into one.
No.
No.
No, we're keeping the utility committee. We'll dissolve that at some point. You're the one that convinced me of that.
I know.
So, no, Liddell, what we would do is we'll keep the utility one just as it is formed with those folks, other than we got a vacancy or two, and then we could add some sewer water folks. This, though, no, I was going to do it where they'd be a subcommittee under this, but you prevailed.
Well, you know, you put something before me.
You did a good job of explaining why. So.
Okay. So now, this is the transportation committee, and this will also encompass public work as well.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then all this other language looks like it's the same thing.
It is exactly the same. It's kind of the things you have on all your committees.
Finished.
Professor Greiner, anything?
No, I'm not online. Quite comprehensive.
I didn't get that out to you.
I'm ready. Councilor Ward?
So I'm fine with it. Thank you.
All right. City Recorder, would you like to read the title of this resolution, please? So that we will take the vote.
Resolution number 2010-12, a resolution repealing resolution 2010-05. A resolution creating the City of Lapine's Transportation Advisory Committee and creating the City of Lapine's Public Works Advisory Committee, describing the committee's powers and duties and establishing the committee members' terms of office.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to adopt resolution number 2010-12 as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved and double seconded. We're an enthusiastic bunch here. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Rackey, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Reiner, yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right. We're getting things done here. other matters, we have none. Public comments for items not on the agenda. This is our second go-round on that. Any takers?
I just wanted to mention the BioGreen meeting tomorrow night at the Senior Center at 6 o'clock. In case anybody, there was a little tiny article on the Frontier, and the Wise Rise, but they are going to do a presentation and hopefully be able to answer a lot of questions.
Senior Center, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Gloria.
That's
right. Isn't the text amendment going to be approved tomorrow as well at the county? The 12th
amendment.
I think it's like a week.
The following
Thursday. Yeah, I think it's...
The following Thursday?
I think so. We'll get that. Luana, would you get the date of the hearing that the county's having on the text amendment and get that out to the council so people know that want to drive in the bend to just go to that?
Yeah. Okay.
And it will be a joint meeting.
I would just like to continue with that comment I made about the letter. My proposal or my idea was that the letter would come from the mayor, and I heard a comment saying that asking about it, and another comment that, well, the city manager would take care of that. But I believe it's a strong enough case and an important enough issue that it ought to come from the council.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I would like to add that a copy should also go to the family so that they will know it was taken care of.
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
You
identify.
My turn now?
Yeah.
I'm Bob Steffens, Goodyear Road, 52573. There was a mention earlier about beautification, and this is not about beautification, but it's related to it. 2 years ago, I was working with Mountain Bike Oregon, and I spent a lot of time in the Westwood and Oak Ridge communities. And they had somehow got a federal grant that a project manager came in, got with us, with the council, the chamber, and business people, and drafted what the purpose was to brand the city for tourism. And this project manager spent weeks there, all federally funded, and came up with a proposal for what the business people on the main drag on 58 and in Oak Ridge especially could do for tourism. And I just wanted to bring it up. Hopefully people know about this, but there's a lot of money out there.
Thank you. Right. Anyone else? Mr. Sean?
Ted Shore again. I'd just like to second what Bob said. If you've driven Highway 97 north, you've gone through the towns of Grass Valley and Morro, and they have had grants to beautify and fix up their highway through town, and they did a beautiful job. So we need to look into those type of projects.
I can attest to that. I was just up through there last month.
Yeah, a quick informational thing. The Vietnam Veterans Traveling Wall is going to be at Redmond High School.
Right.
The opening ceremonies are tomorrow night. I'm not sure where those are. Jim's going to get that. But the wall will be set up at Redmond High School. And it'll be there through Sunday if anybody wants to go see it. It's quite an experience.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is it open 24 hours?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
If I light it up?
I think it is. Yeah. I know there's always somebody there. So.
Thanks for that reminder.
Yeah.
It's a replica of the wall.
It's 80%, yeah. It's very, very moving.
Anyone else? Right, we will move on to committee reports. Ted, do you have anything for us?
I have nothing more than what's already been discussed here tonight.
Thank you.
And we're moving forward.
Have any other committee heads out there? Council?
No, not for me, thank you.
No committees attended?
Oh, yes. But now I can't remember. I went to COIC and they were interested in what we are doing with the city manager, and Alan Unger said that he heard you were kicking butt. Excuse me. So, we're on the map. Thank you.
Alan's a good guy.
Okay. And I Councilor Greiner, nothing? Anything?
No. It's not Linda's vote. I have something.
Okay. This isn't the committee that any of us belongs to, but I think we're all aware that the DEQ did form their steering committee for the nitrates thing, and they have a tentative date of September 9th for their first meeting. Tentative is the key word here.
My staff things, I met with, as I said, with the ODOT group, which is more than ODOT, but the county was here, and because of listening to all of you, I took your cause up, Vicki, and others. The most controversial part of our first meeting they're going to start working on was that they did a contract for this at $70,000 to do this, and it's the corridor study through from First Street to the other end of town. It does not go out to Wicked because they have another project out there. And it will work on the intersections and pedestrian safety and, you know, access management, all of that stuff. It will be done with it by November. It's fairly quick, December. But in it, there was no, they never had a public meeting of any kind.
Nice.
And I told them, I said, well, Vicki Jackson is not going to allow that.
Sure.
And so I argued that that was really ridiculous. How could anyone put together a process that didn't include, you know, three quarters of the way through, kind of give presentations on what it's going to be? I said, you're talking about access. Now, we had quite a debate, and got some responses that were a little ornery from some folks, but I didn't let go, so they mellowed out. And, then, of course, Pilsen just wants more money. And then I said, oh, you can include that. It's not that far from Bend to come down here. The kid lives in Bend that runs the PISA project manager. You just get down here and you can staff a couple little community meetings. So I think we will get a couple. So that will be done. And then we'll need to move into our TSP. And that's then when we'll start working on our other roads. And then they'll take this and put it into the TSP. And they are going to use the plan from 5 years ago a lot more than they have been. We're talking like. So I kind of cheated, bugged him about plan after plan after plan, and then whenever he wants to look at the old plan, you just keep stacking plans. But they all like that stuff. I'm going to have a letter for you guys to sign. I sent that out a little bit for the mayor did her words, and I sent them to her for her. She finds my dots and T's and things, which is good because I need that. And so I made those changes. But a letter that I'm going to hand deliver or take with me to the county commission, I'm meeting with them next week, on our laying out our position on or what we're doing with sewer and water and also the BLM, kind of the land exchange. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll be sending an email if you come by and sign it once it's ready for to be signed. Because I need it for next Wednesday. And, well, hopefully you'll get it done by Friday or Monday. Because I think tomorrow I can have it here so you guys can start signing it if you come by. And it's just a letter saying, you know, I want to make you on record that they kind of know a couple things. And then I think for our next work session, this would, and after the gentleman spoke earlier on BioGreen, you need to be thinking about, this is the reality. I met with the county department heads last week, and I had planning director, community development director, public works director, county administrator, deputy county administrator, the whole hee-haw gang. And this is where we're going to come down to the BioGreen, is that they're going to have their joint meeting next week or whenever it is, and the county commission will be doing that with them. First of all, they had to have it been because that's a regular meeting, and they have stuff from Sisters has issues on there, and they couldn't make Sisters people drive to Lapine just because Lapine had an issue. So it's in Bend, and it's a regular meeting, and they got a regular group of issues on there. So that's why it had to be held in Bend, and the county commission will be there like we did here with the planning commission so they can do it quick. That's going to be on that text amendment and the partition. Then you get into the conditional use. The conditional use process, that's where I call it, where you pick the colors of the fence and the paint on the building. That, if there's going to be two choices, and one is you do it administratively, where the staff takes things in and decides what they should require.
And county staff.
Huh?
The county staff.
The county staff. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just advisory only.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, county staff. Or they can go through the hearings process. You know, and have a hearing before the or something. Bottom line is, one's done administratively, one is about adds 4 weeks to the process. If you add 4 weeks to the process, it no longer meets BioGreen's deadlines. County will only do it administratively if the city sends the direction that that's what you want. So your choice is going to be, do you tell the county to do it administratively and therefore you meet BioGreen's deadlines, or you tell them you want them to do the longer route, which adds 4 weeks and does not meet their deadline. And what they're doing is they're wanting to make sure that Lapine calls the shots. This is economic development. And BioGreen has said this is their deadline. Nobody can disprove it or prove it, but that's what they're telling you. And so life is tough, and that's the choice you're going to have to make. And Nick Levack will be here at our work session because he's basically wants to talk. He's going to lay out what those two options are. But I want to give you time to start thinking about it so that you can give us direction. And then he will take that direction. And what will happen there is you give us direction, I'll write a letter telling them the council, we're okay with doing it administratively, and they want that in their file. Because you're going to face people who will say they don't like that.
So what are the dates?
Yeah. I don't know the dates. I mean, I know the dates for when Nick's coming here. It's our work session in 2 weeks.
And when does the administrative decision?
I don't. He'll tell you. It hasn't happened then because it's after that. See, I think that they'll start that immediately. So
you'll let us know when that meeting is, when you find out. I'd like to go.
Well, they haven't decided the process yet. They're waiting for you to tell them, are you going to do it? Because otherwise they have to put notice in the newspaper for 2 weeks, and it puts it all out. So they're waiting. They're going to wait to hear from us. Do you want basically Nick and them to decide what's appropriate? And of course, all of that's still appealable. So, you know, the normal thing. So, now they're throwing it back in your court, and there will be no easy answers to that for you.
No.
But so, having said that, any of you that could probably be over tomorrow night probably should try to be there, because I think that if you go the administrative route, I think with a pretty clear conscience will be able to say, first of all, it's been talked about for a long time in the community. Mm-hmm. There's been lots of meetings in the community. Mm-hmm. Hasn't there been over the years or this is talked about?
On the BioGreen?
No, well, the biomass. Take BioGreen out.
Biomass.
Right, because what the gentleman tonight said is, do we want those in our community?
Yeah, no, there's been a lot.
And then you have a meeting here. We had standing room only. That was publicized. It was talked about that it was going to be BioGreen. BioGreen did a presentation. Mm-hmm. You also now, tomorrow, BioGreen is doing one on their own that's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think you'll have to decide. And the county is having a meeting that's open to the public in the next couple of weeks that's noticed, meets all the requirements for notices before the county commission and the planning commission of Deschutes County.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been several ways for you to submit your comments.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be your guys' call.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there has been a lot of discussion and presentations, and they were really kind of put through the mill to
mm-hmm.
prove who they are and what they're about. So when did that started last fall, didn't it?
When
they first approached.
Listen, David, Sylvan was like.
Well, Sylvan was that one was actually at our very at the city's
first
organizational meeting when we got hit with that one, and that went on for a long time. That there were different meetings and discussions and controversy over that one, and it just finally died out. So it's not like it's a new concept to the community of Lapine.
You were going to start work in, wasn't it the 1st of July?
I think so, yeah.
June?
Yeah.
They had planned to
start construction.
Yeah.
And then I met with the library board today, spent an hour with the library board, and learned lots. And they actually did a neat study, which I on our demographics and things. They're doing that, and it was kind of interesting. Talked about the average age and how it compares, and where those stats are, and you know who's using the library and isn't. But it was a lot just kind of on the community. It was kind of fascinating. So. That's it.
Okay, you're not ready yet with any comments on staffing, changing anything around with staffing issues or anything?
No.
Still working on assessing and working on that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Luana, you have anything?
No, I did attend, I did attend the Legion meeting on July 21st. And they were discussing the large lots in the industrial site and how Lapine may need to relook at future needs. And then there was discussion about the text amendment in the joint meeting and how the county needed some form of approval from the city before they could proceed.
Okay.
Oh, I said, don't forget the handbook. We handed that out, so yeah, I'd like it our work session to start talking about anything questions you have in there. I know it gets lost in the shuffle and it's a little more boring. The staff and I today had an hour on it. We're at page 11, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And tomorrow at 10, we're meeting again, and we're going through, and we've circled a few things we want to ask about, we're not sure of, and so we'll hopefully finish it, our run with it tomorrow. And then we'll send some of those questions out to Jeremy for clarification. And then that's what I want you guys to start, if you start, so we can, you know, I'd like to get it approved in September. We can approve it in October. You haven't had one like this for 4 years, so.
Wait, do you want us to email our thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it at a work session, whatever, but, you know, whatever, however you'd like to do it.
Okay.
So I can get answers.
Okay. Anything else, Lorna?
No, that was all I have.
Patty?
No.
Okay. Council comments.
Nothing from me, thank you.
Hello.
Council McAfee?
Yes. This issue with the dog has brought up an idea that I've been thinking about. And I think that it's time that we have a meeting that coordinates all the different entities within the city limits, like the park district, the sheriff's department, the fire district, and so we can kind of get together and kind of coordinate.
Are you talking all of their elected boards?
No.
So
I don't think so, no. I think that would be too cumbersome. Usually they send a representative, and we just have, a coordinating meeting, update, kind of informal, talking type of thing. I think the outcome of that would probably have some discussion with the Sheriff's Department on how that they, what their policy is.
Well, actually, you know, I think that it would be nice to bring the sheriff to a work session where we spend a half hour with just the sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Justin, we can get over here anytime. But I think the sheriff, I think that there's enough questions about... because he wasn't at our meeting the other day, and, you know, the word that came from those folks there was really, because we don't pay the extra money,
mm-hmm.
there's just, this is what you're getting,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. So, and I thought to myself there that, you know, we need to sit down with the sheriff and talk about the level of service that Lapine mm-hmm. gets in general, because they can enforce some things.
So we're really talking about two things, I think. You know, that is really the most urgent, but then also the coordination effort, getting everybody talking.
Yeah, I met with Justin today for an hour. So, I mean, the administrators are talking. But we can have him come in and give a report or something on whatever. But you know what? Adele, part of why, because you can see it's 9 o'clock, we started at 5:30, and why we're trying to do sewer and water, charter, the franchise agreement.
This is the future.
Yeah. Because one of the things that I thought, one. going along that line a little bit, I do know that in some of the other communities, called certainly the administrators, the department heads of these different groups meet to talk about projects and things. And certainly with what came up today with CYC, we're going to have to talk about whose project, because you've got a community kitchen that they're talking about getting a food pantry. Then they're talking about a building for community kitchen for the restaurant side. The Parks District wants a new headquarters over there. You start going down this list, and I was telling, that's what Justin and I were talking about, is, okay, while maybe you want the new restaurant side of the food, the kitchen, we as a community cannot be applying for 5 or 6 new buildings all in 1 year. You're not going to get them. So if you could pick, what's this community want? Do they want a new kitchen? Do they want a new Parks headquarters? You start going down the list.
City
Hall. Except those are far ours. these ones want grants. And, you know, there just isn't the grant, so.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay, so that's my comments.
Okay, and you have started your extra 5 hours a week?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was doing that anyway.
All right. I would like to say that it depends on which deputy you get as to what they will tell you with dogs. I have a family member who collects dogs that are stray and calls them regularly. And they will come out, and if the dog doesn't have a tag or a collar, I know that they are taken to the Humane Society. And other ones they have brought down here and called their owners. So it actually depends. And I think it's rotten that somebody will tell a child, you know, we can't do anything. And I'm anxious for you to talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a discussion we have with that sheriff. I think we bring the sheriff in. Does he run the dog pound?
Has some more input? Sheriff's Department needs to hear about that.
So I would like the letter, a copy also, to go to the family so they know that we have done something about it.
That's a good idea.
So the mayor's going to write a letter then?
It's a request.
That was the request. Somebody will write a letter to the mayor, I'll sign it. Somebody who's getting paid for this letter writing.
I think somebody needs to step up instead of passing this around the table.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Patty,
that's the thing we need to know. Who is going to write this letter and what it's going to say? Quite frankly, as you know, I don't have the time for it.
Well, I mean, what I would do myself is, the letter's fine, but I don't normally start with a letter. We had two nice people who came and gave a presentation. Normally, I would probably do a little more research as to what happened, what tickets were wrote, etc., before you start firing out letters signed by 5 councilmen. Yeah. Because you only get so many shots at that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got big issues and you're working on it, so you don't want to send one of those a week. And so we need to be careful where we're just firing out letters. I think it's probably more appropriate for me to call, find out, talk to this deputy. What did he find? What happened there? Where was it? You know, is it on Parks land? Is it on BLM land? Just kind of a little more of it. And what did he do? And how's that moving forward? And so on. And then we can come up with, you know, so we really do need to kind of know.
But we could just have one saying that we plan to take care of it, you know, and we'll let them know when we find out rather than waiting all this time. I think when a child is involved, that you need to let them know they don't understand like we do. I'll get back to you at some point. So, but at least say that we are working on it, and you know, we will take
care of it. Can I make a comment to clarify that letter issue? I think that my intent was that it would be a low level letter in the presentation of the information, and that being that we have in council were presented with a situation that we find disturbing, and we need to know what the sheriff's department and cite a couple of the pieces that we know, and
let me do that. You know,
and ask for what is the current policy regarding this kind of an issue from the sheriff's department.
I think,
and that's not one that you have to go. Granted, you can't go out and be signing letters and throwing stones, in other words, without having all your checkers lined up. But you can send a letter saying we have some serious concern after hearing this presentation, and would like to either meet with you, or and he sends one of the captains down, and you meet with him, and they give you a full presentation on how they provide services and what the services are around those kinds of issues. That's really what. Yeah. My
sort of like an acknowledgement, and that has been heard, and an invitation to get together and work something out.
For Mayor Kitty to sign. We won't have the council sign. We'll just have Kitty yeah. and I can sign it.
Thank
you. In the opening statement to get the sheriff to come down and talk.
Yeah, when I talk to the commissioners, I can bring it up.
I left that agenda item with the impression that Rick was going to look into it, and mm-hmm. then there was going to be something published. Mm-hmm. And I suspect they aren't expecting anything in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it would be better for me to do it tomorrow, too. Because it may get lost in the shuffle. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's the truth, and it's dangerous. And it sounds like nothing can be done about it.
It's been a kid's neck got grabbed.
Yeah, right. Oh, somebody's getting sued.
Because of the law.
Well, it's, you know, I think we should get the word out that, you know, it's been heard, and we're starting the dialogue on finding solutions, and we're not going to.
If you're a newspaper, I think let people, you do editorials or something. I mean, I think that there's a responsibility of people to control their animals.
I plan on calling you them, and then maybe talking to you. About it. You talk to the sheriff.
Yeah, I don't think we should have any patience. Animal control and dog control stuff is a hot topic everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always very emotional. Right. Everywhere. Every example is emotional. These people who have the two pit bulls, I can about guess. They need to keep their dogs on their property.
If you look at the property across from the high school, you'll understand.
Yeah, I will look at that. I don't think I'll be knocking on the door.
No.
I'll take care of them.
It's watch nice pit bulls, too. You've got a lot of pit bull owners that have little pussycat pit bulls, too.
That is not a pit bull. It's the owner.
Yes.
Okay, people, we do need to move on here. Thank you for that. Do you have any further comments?
No, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it's been a long, long day. I just wanted to throw out here. Do you have any comments?
I sure do. I'm waiting.
Okay.
I just wanted everybody to know that the senior center feels that they have a certain amount of civic duty, and they are donating the time for this BioGreen meeting and also for the two candidate forums meetings.
Right.
So there's going to be no charge. It's going to be open in our facilities to the community for use of that. So I thought that was worth knowing. In addition to that, we were told at this last meeting that a similar plant was being built in Eugene. And we happened to go to Eugene, and I forgot my camera, naturally. So I went to the store and bought one of these little throwaways, and this is the result. So if any of you are interested in knowing what that plant looks like, I've got some pictures here, and I put it on a CD. So somebody with a computer that can blow it up was perfectly all right to do. But the plant is a pretty good-sized plant, and you just might like to look at it, because being here at their presentation here, it didn't look as big to me on that presentation as this plant's being built. So it's going to be a pretty sizable building.
Is that one up and running yet?
Pardon?
Is that plant up and running yet?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It's in the construction process, but there's enough there that you can see. The smokestack only had the first section up, but so the framework of that building is big.
It's so about a year away.
I'm not trying. I think we need the project here. Don't misunderstand. However, if somebody wants to say maybe it's going to be too big, this is something that you might like to look at so that you'll have some way to talk about it. So that's basically it tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
Same size meeting. Plant, don't
no.
Pardon? The same size plant? Is it the same size plant?
They said it was supposed to be similar in size. That was the statement they made here.
What about the one in Medford? Everybody that lives in Medford that we've talked to that live here now thought that was the greatest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'd like to just throw out to remind everyone that is an industrial park.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the plant is supposed to go in way over next to the railroad tracks. I mean, we should expect industrial activity in an industrial park.
So. Well, I didn't say I was against it.
I was not saying that. I was just reminding everyone, you know, that those just my thoughts on top of your thoughts.
Even so, the gentleman that was here, I have to work with his wife every week at the bingo game. I don't want to get you the hell over there.
It's in his neighborhood.
Did you have anything else?
No, that's fine.
I brought this up the other day with Luana and also with Rick because it was on my mind, and with the nights getting colder and everything, and I thought, oh, we're going to have to be thinking about our fall road maintenance. And so I was assured that Rick and Luana are on that. People will be asking, you know, what's going to happen with the roads up there in preparation for winter. We're on it. We do have a maintenance plan. I don't know what it looks like right now, but that's...
I'm working on it.
I know you are. So if anyone has any questions, they can call Luana.
Is it prepared or being prepared?
She's working on it. If I had anything else, I've forgotten it by now. It's been a very long day. So, I think we are ready to adjourn. If that's all right with everyone?
Yes.
I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 9:05. Meeting adjourned at 9:05.
Very good.